foggy outside. All the planes have been grounded. Ain't the fire inside? Let's all go stand around it.
Funny, I've been there and you've been here. We ain't had no time to drink that beer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sandman Podcast. I am your host, Brian W. Tosh, joined as always by our resident hack checker, Oliver Fullington.
What up?
El Hilo del Hack, Tyler Fullington, and the legend himself, the man who crushed WrestleMania weekend, the hardcore icon, the Sandman.
Dude, wow, freaking wow, what a weekend.
What a weekend.
Oh my, I'm so re-energized through the business right now. I'm not even talking about my own stuff, which we'll get into on the weekend, but the wrestling was, dude, wrestling is back. The hockey stick curve is on the way up. It's ebbs and flows, and dude, we are shooting to the sky right now.
So they always say the business is cyclical, and this is definitely an upswing for the business.
10 down, 7 up. 10 down, 7 up. Kevin Sullivan used to tell me that way back in the day.
And so you're saying this is part of the 7 up?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's undeniable. They had such a monster event, the WWE, but not only that, the indies themselves, all the convention, seeing the traffic there, all the fans that were out in Philadelphia, all the tourists. What an incredible, incredible
event. The city of brotherly love showed up and showed out, dude, in every single aspect you could think of.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere I went, people were ecstatic. I didn't talk to anyone who did not have a great time in Philadelphia, all the tourists that were in town. We talked to people from all over the globe. We talked to people from Chile. We talked to people from Argentina. We talked to people from Japan.
I had a couple of Singapore people.
Yeah, Singapore people.
Kuwait. Brazilians, Kuwait, yeah,
Norway.
Australia,
Norway.
Yeah, we talked to people from all over the globe that are into wrestling, and that was so cool. So, just so you guys know, I got to tag along with you guys Friday at the Sheraton. That was really cool. I'd never been to a wrestling convention before, but that was so awesome just to see all the fans and see you guys interacting with them and just seeing you work with all the fans and all the kids and everybody that came out was so cool, man. Watching you just interact,
dude. First of all, you need a little bit of energy when you're in a position like that. You know what I mean? And sometimes, if nobody's come up to your table in a minute or two, you're like, you just want to like catch your breath or whatever. And then you like somebody catches your eye, and then your energy level just goes off the roof again. And then you're on a roll for like 30 minutes.
Yeah,
it's weird.
No, it was really cool seeing you like talk to your fans and everybody with the merchandise they had, the T-shirts they had, all the different articles for you to sign and everything. Some of the unique tapes from Japan you were signing and everything. It was so cool to watch you in that element and just to get interacting with all those fans.
I do, dude. You got to understand. I love it. There might not be a more interactive professional wrestler than me with the audience. Think about it. Who's pouring beer down your throat before they go to the ring? It doesn't get as interactive as that.
Yeah.
Unless I'm punching you in the face or slamming you, DDT, you or whatever. You know what I mean? The interactiveness is what I learned very early, like in my career, was the connection with the audience. There's so many people in the business right now that know every single move that's ever been invented, but they don't have that connection. The connection is everything.
Well, there was countless amounts of people. I mean, how many people came up to you and were like, oh, I was at a show one time, you pour beer down my throat. I mean,
and they were like, it was the greatest thing that ever happened.
Right.
To me. I love hearing that
50,
story.
100 people, you know, just saying, it doesn't matter where it was, when it was, what year it was, just you had that interaction.
Even the night before. Right. Yes. People were like, oh my God, I came to Philadelphia. I never thought for a second that you would be out there pouring beer down my throat.
Yeah, so, okay, let's.
And they're pumped.
Let's talk about WrestleCon, the Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show the night before. This is the first time I've ever been backstage in wrestling in my life. It was a unique environment for me. So Oliver, Ty, you guys are pretty well acclimated to that environment. I never been backstage before. So I'm backstage in the ECW arena. I'm going to set the picture here for you guys. We're talking to Savio Vega. Okay, he comes over. He loves Hack. He loves Hack so much. They're chopping it up and talking. Savio goes back to the other side of the arena. Then Savio, then Hack, I'm sorry, is talking to Bill Alfonso, and he keeps saying, "Man, Chicky Star looks so good. He's got to be 75. He looks great. He looks great." So Hack. No, this is true.
What an impression.
Hold on. So he's saying how great Chicky Star looks to Bill Alfonso. Savio is very gracious with his time. He comes back over to us, and if you haven't had the chance to check it out on our YouTube page or Instagram, definitely go and check out the YouTube extended story about Hack invading Mind Games 96 with the WWF. Tommy Dreamer and him were ringside and invaded the show, kind of, and Savio had a spot planned, and they go over it in great detail. Savio told the story for us.
What a story, dude. What a story. And nobody in their locker room knowing a thing.
No one knew anything, and it was such a cool story that he was so gracious, and he shared it with us. And right after you stopped filming, Oliver, I go over and I say, "Hey, Chicky, it's a pleasure to meet you." And he looks at me and he says, "Me no Chicky." And it's Hurricane Castillo, also known as Jesus, one of the Los Boricuas. I felt like such an idiot. I'm like, this is the last time I will ever listen to you. You will never
trust me on the name of a wrestler.
If you tell me a guy is C.W. Anderson, I'm going to need to see some ID. All right?
you learned the hard way, Tosh, right?
I did. I really did.
Dude, me and Hurricane, this was our thing. We were the... We were the cigarette smokers and the drinkers in the locker room. So every building where he would roll in his Cadillac with a bottle of Jack Daniels or something brown. You know what I mean? I don't drink brown. You know what I mean? But he would be in there with his bottle. I'd be in there with my 24 cans of beer. We just sit down and bullshit while the show was going on.
Welcome to the locker room, Tosh, where no one is safe from a rib ever.
Well, even I was embarrassed because right after that, Hurricane goes, "Yo, dude, you told him my name was Chicky Star." I'm like,
"Chicky Star."
But you have to understand something. I walked up to Hurricane, gave him a hug, and because I thought he was Chicky Star, I'm like, "Dude, how come you're not dead yet?" He looks me dead in the eye, goes, "How come you're not dead yet?" And we both had a great laugh. We hugged each other. You know what I mean? It was great.
Seriously, that is the last time I will ever take your word on who a wrestler is. I'm not taking your word ever again.
There should be an app where you should take a picture of somebody, like identify a plant app, identify a pro wrestler app.
There should be.
It's in the words.
Yeah.
So, Tosh, I have a question for you. On Friday night, what was it like to bring some of your friends backstage and kind of enjoy that experience with you?
Oh, man. My friends came out. I had the whole Shed crew out. I had Clem, Freeze, Roy, Greg. Everybody was out there with us. And so we have a bunch of chairs set up in the back. And from what you guys were telling me, Pap, you... Ollie, Ty, everybody just sits back in the back and just hangs.
We're not in the locker room now. The locker rooms are upstairs. I don't even like going up those stairs or whatever, you know what I mean? So I just sit in the back and it will be called basically almost gorilla position for people that know what a gorilla position is.
Yeah, so we're all just chilling back there, hanging, talking amongst each other, and we were talking to these two women who were fans for years. They were so gracious with their time and their great road stories that they had as well.
Oh, was this the ones that Tosh was trying to put the move on, Ty, that you were saying? Was that them too?
Yeah, I think so.
I wasn't trying.
Dude, I can tell by your face there's a little bit there.
No, I was being very polite, man. Nothing like that at all.
Only because she said no.
Oh, stop it. Nothing like that at all. Stop it. No. They were nice, nice ladies, man. So anyway, we're all there chilling, and I guess a security guard got upset at the amount of people that were there.
An edict came down because there was so many damn people back there. And you got to, dude, you have to understand, I have a show. Let's say for anybody that needs size, it's 10 yards wide by 25 yards long. That's the size of the space. I took up one third of that with me and my circle of chairs and my circle of friends.
The hack pack.
Yeah. And no bed. that will never change.
Okay.
So tell them what I do with the security.
The security guard came over and said, you can't have this. And you immediately told him to go get the owner of the building. And that was it. There was no
me and the owner of the building are like this. And it wasn't even his edict. It came from Rob or whatever the other guy's.
Yeah, he was getting orders from somebody else. Yeah. That was just like,
dude, and he knows me. You know what I mean? And I'm like, dude, there was no heat between me and him. He's just following orders. Yeah.
There was only heat between him and Oliver. Oliver was a little heated at the end. That guy comes back.
Well, he was about to get a headbutt.
You guys had a lot of friends out there. Malik Joe, he was out there with us as well. Malik, shout out.
Malik, my boy.
Malik got to do the entrance with Hack, which I know talking to him on Saturday, he came by the tailgate for WrestleMania. I was hanging out with him a little bit then, and he said it was a bucket list dream for him. So shouts out to Malik.
I know, and I love that doing for people. You know what I'm saying? We had it set up with me, Ollie. Ollie was like... Were you carrying the beers? Was that the very first night, Ollie?
No.
Because I did three different entrances that weekend, so it's hard for me to discern which one.
Friday, right. He came out with Malik.
Yeah, and then Malik, I had him stand up on me. He got the first beer, and then... I shouldn't have started this story, because I'm embarrassed. And then, next, you know, because you got to understand, there's like 1,000 people in the building. Let's say there's 300 on every side of the ring, whatever, 400 on every side of the ring. So I make my way all the way around to the other side. And I noticed Malik there with his camera. And I just got done jumping over the railing like the cat that I am.
What about Thursday?
I don't know if I'd go there considering what happened Thursday night.
Took a FaceTime. I went to get over the rail. I'm blaming it on somebody pushing the rail while I was in midair, of course, and I'm sticking to that claim.
Okay. Dude, just so you know. I'm in the crowd like 50 yards away filming, and I'm just looking, and all I see is Hack disappear.
My head just goes.
And I'm like, oh my God, did he just fall?
Dude, and I completely missed it. I was in the Eagle's Nest, and my phone, I was videoing, and it was like storage full. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I looked down. I didn't find out you bumped until the next day. I'm like, wait a second, I missed this?
Yeah, he took a little bump. I got to also say.
Oh, hey, hold on. And I laid there long enough for the whoever the house camera was to get near me so I could put it. I haven't even had a cocktail yet that day because it's a long day. You just can't start drinking that early.
No, you were business mode.
I wasn't drinking till I got home. So I took the bump and wait till the camera got near me and put it over as, I'm drunk.
So that was
just
a work
like a
drunk.
True worker.
Yeah, that was a work drunk.
You better believe that.
A worked buzz. So on Thursday night at the WrestleCon show, this was so cool because I got to like, I'm sitting there next to you and over comes Sami Callihan and you guys start to put together the little segment that you were doing with the Paul Walter Hauser Sami Callihan match. And multiple times, Sami kept coming back, and you guys worked out the spot that you had in the main event, and I got to just sit there and listen to you guys break it down. That was like probably the coolest moment of the weekend for me, seeing you and Sami put it together, and the different layers of everything that you did for just a little segment.
It's hard to explain that nobody gives it to you. If you're like an underling in the WWE, there's agents that will hand you your match and they expect you to follow your match. And if you don't follow their match, but you get over, then they'll still take credit with Vince. You know what I mean? But if your match isn't and they forget, so the agent was ready to bury you in a second, but he's also ready to take praise for something that he never even came up with. So when you're an artist, like Sami has his view of things, I have my view of things. The other guy really didn't matter because he's not a professional wrestler, and I don't expect him to understand the business. I mean, if he would have had an idea, I would have liked it, but probably I just would have poo-pooed anything and just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he understood that it was me and Sami coming up.
He was so gracious. So Paul Walter Hauser is a Golden Globe winning actor. He has been in I, Tonya, Richard Jewell. He's been in a number of things. Like, go check out his IMDb page.
Emmy also.
I mean, like, this is an accomplished actor. And he's coming over to you, and he's saying, I am the biggest fan. I am so gracious. When he took a photo with you, this is one little note that I took from him. he was so adamant about making sure that the kendo stick autograph that he had from the kendo stick was shown in the picture.
Oh, because he bought his own kendo stick online.
Yes, but it was signed by you. And he wanted to make sure that the signature was in the picture. I was like, Paul Walter Hauser, you are a real one. You are a true wrestling fan. Shouts out to you, man. I it was so cool to watch you live out a dream like that. And the crowd and everything was right there at the end. And hey, I got to say,
Hack was pretty damn good for, for being an actor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's half of it, ain't it? Right?
I guess, but the physicality of it, is
a little more. He came back busted open after the match.
Yeah, dude, I thought he did a great job, considering.
I do, too. I think he killed it. I thought he did a fantastic job. And the one thing that you said to him before you guys went out there was, when I come out and everything, I'm leaving the ring. This is your moment. And I thought to myself, man, this is a guy, like, Hack, this is your building. Like, that ECW arena is your building.
House.
Yes. And you were so gracious with it to be like, no, this is your moment. You take it. Paul Walter Hauser.
Ty'll bring something up like that later that he told me earlier with the Mark Henry comment. But, yeah. But actually, he grabs the microphone, and I want to go give him a beer. So I tell Fonzie, I'm like, go over there and tell him, because I don't want to go up to him while he's cutting his promo, he's all hyped up and stuff. I want Fonzie to tell him, hey, Samuel wants to offer you a beer, because we didn't go over any of that, because I didn't know how he was going to be out there, so I'm just playing it by ear. Fonzie comes back and he says, no, the dude's in rehab or whatever, the dude's recovering or whatever.
Okay.
Don't hand him a beer.
Yeah.
Right then, I'm like, well, if I was going to hand him the beer, I was going to hand him the beer and roll. But right then, I decided I'm out.
Yeah, but
I'm out. Ring jersey.
It was so cool.
It's your fucking moment.
Yeah, it was so cool to see you bow out of that and just be like, nah, this is your moment. Enjoy it. And that shows how humble you are as a performer as well. Because there's a lot of ego involved in the business.
I know, but to me, in my head, it's not humble. It's just what makes sense.
Right.
It's what's best for business. It's what makes sense. Right.
Yes.
Hey, dude, this is the big star coming in, dude. I'm a happenstance on the match.
Yeah. No, it was cool. And listen, definitely check out our social media. Go back and watch this match. The pop that Hack got here on Thursday night.
Crickets. Caused an earthquake.
You can see it on Instagram Reels, on our Instagram. Crickets.
He was saying all Friday that the earthquake was a ripple effect from the pop.
But for people that don't know that are listening, there was a 4.8 earthquake in the afternoon on Thursday, was it?
Friday. Yeah.
And I created it, just saying.
Turn back the hands of time. It was like 1996 in the building that night and on Friday. So really, really awesome, stuff.
Hold on. Dude, honestly, my first night there, that pop, the only time I got a bigger, like, initial pop when my music bangs was the night I came back from WCW.
In October of 99.
Thursday night came this close to it.
Yeah, it was
and but it beat it with the sustained level of pop for the whole 5 minutes of my entrance. Nobody thought I was going to be there. Every time I was there, nobody thought I was going to be there, and that's what makes it great.
Yeah, that was so cool, man. The other thing I have to talk about here today, so this was a completely organic moment. We're backstage at the show Friday. Just to give you guys further context, Hack was doing signings at WrestleCon all day Friday. From there, he did a ECW brunch, correct?
Yeah, yep. 4 hours signing at the hotel. Then I went upstairs for an hour luncheon where I sit with a bunch of people. Then I went to the arena for another 3 hours of signing.
Right. So at this point, your social battery is drained. You are just tired from doing all that work. You were mingling, talking to so many people. And then you hear, we're backstage, you hear that there is a line around the ECW building, around the corner, around the block, and so you say, grab a camera, I'm going out there. Oliver tells you, and what proceeds, you guys can check this out.
Maybe the greatest thing of the weekend. I mean, it's so funny, it's so ironic, it's just so, like, organic.
Yeah.
It's the greatest.
It was such a
cool... It's karma, everything. It's all wrapped up in some enigma that I can't even really expand on it. You know what I mean? What happened, dude?
It was so cool. You were just out there with your people, and you wanted to entertain people while they were waiting in line. None of this was...
Because it was cold.
It was cold, and people were waiting in a long line that wrapped around the block. I mean, the arena was packed, and then this was a line waiting to get in, and Oliver is tailing you and does this amazing tracking shot video of you walking through the crowd. At one point, you say you're going to call the fire marshal because there's too many people. People were dying laughing. And then you turn the corner right there and you see a guy and he's smoking a doob and you take it from him. You take a picture with him and you're about to walk away. You say, nah, dude, here you go. Give it back to him. This guy, Chris from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Chris!
We love you, Chris.
We love you, Chris. We love you, Chris. You are a new friend of the show, friend for life.
Yeah, man.
I love you, dude. You were so cool to meet. You give it back to him. That was the funniest part of the video, you stealing the joint from him. I'm walking into WrestleMania, night one. I see him as I'm about to cross the street to go to the link.
Okay, people, just so you know, there's 80,000 people in the general area, and Tosh ends up running into Chris.
And Tosh only knows Chris from the video.
I have never spoken to this
which
man.
Which makes it even crazier.
I have never spoken to Chris prior to that in my entire life. I swear to you, none of this was pre-planned or anything like that. This is not a work. This is a shoot, brother. I see Chris, and it was his mustache that just triggered something in my brain. I said, yo, dude. You were with the Sandman yesterday, weren't you? So, yes, sir, I was with the Sandman. So, I'm talking to Chris, and I exchanged, I got his, you know, his Facebook and everything. And Chris, new friend of the show, what he did for us on Monday. New friend of the show, close personal friend, Chris from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. What he did for us on Monday as well. So, he's still in Philadelphia on Monday, and he decides to go over to an eclipse party kind of thing. And the local news is there, Fox 29. And he texts me, he says,
Fox 29 picks one person out of that whole crowd to do a promo for a 20-second segment on the 6 o'clock news.
Yes, and they're talking to Chris. And I text him before, I said, Chris, plug the show if you can. Chris plugs us on the live news during the Eclipse broadcast. Chris, you are the absolute man. I love you forever, brother. Thank you so much.
Wait a minute. So I didn't know. Did you guys had exchanged numbers the night before?
No, he got my like Facebook, and he was messaging me on Facebook.
And was he saying the news is going to do something with me or something?
Only on that Monday when I was texting him. He said, I'm about to be interviewed on the news.
And you're the person that he gets a hold of in all this planet.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, man. I have to listen.
Chris!
Always be closing. Got to be plugging. And Chris, thank you so much. I hope you're enjoying the green grass all across the states. I know you were.
That's great. I forgot about that.
I know we have clips of this up on our Instagram and our Twitter as well. So I hope you are enjoying your trip, Chris. We are definitely rooting for you, brother. And I hope everything is great for your trip
here. Hey, so for people that don't get it, Chris said, I walked along your green grass of Philadelphia for 2 miles to get somewhere. That means you smoked dope the whole time. He didn't bring from Toronto with him. Yeah. I would assume.
Yeah, that was absolutely incredible. So,
no, not Toronto.
Yeah, if you were driving down Broad Street on Saturday or Sunday and you saw Anchorman looking guy smoking a fat doobie, that was Chris.
The people we meet. Absolutely incredible, Chris. So thank you very much for
Chris
all the
plugs. Chris just let me know that things are going right. In all this, in all my awareness in my life right now, that karmic wise, that stuff just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, it just doesn't. Absolutely, man, it's fate, and I really appreciate meeting you, man. It was super cool. So, I know Saturday, you guys went had a great moment with Busted Open at the arena as well. I wasn't with you guys on Saturday or Sunday. What was that like coming out Busted Open?
Heck, and a great pop, as always. Nobody knew he was going to be there. Another surprise. So, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had, I think, D-Von. They were interviewing D-Von. It was their typical panel, you know, Bubba,
and LaGreca, Mark Henry, Dreamer, Thunder Rosa. They had Ziggler there. They were interviewing him. Hack comes out, does his entrance, everything like that. And you know, we're going to try and like plug the podcast a little bit on like Busted Open Radio. So the guy comes back and says, hey, you know, what do you want to talk about? Like, whatever. We write down some, you know, all of our tags, you know, Sandman Podcast, this, that,
the other. Yes, gave the tags to the producer. Producer told me that they would give the tags to he said Bubba. But I didn't care if it was Bubba LaGreca or whatever, but it never got there because my brain is shot. I don't know anything like that.
Chicky Star.
Well, Hack gets up on stage and LaGreca's like, oh, so, Sandman, like, you have a podcast. And Hack's like, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, give us a story. And Hack's like, ah.
I'm tired. You know, I'm tired at this point. Yeah. And the producer, I give him the stuff, and he goes, and he's like, listen, you're the last part of the show. I'm figuring I got 2 minutes once I get it there, and then we're out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm out there for 10 minutes. But either way, that Dreamer even tried to coax me into a story, but I just didn't have it in me.
Yeah.
And honestly, I didn't have it in me, but I didn't have it in me, and I've been thinking about this because I think I kind of screwed up there a couple times. Because I went with comedy, and then maybe I could have told a story about me being a 5-year-old kid right there. Dreamer says tell a story. I could have told my story.
Yeah.
I could have done it right there, Ted.
I don't think you were expecting like a Q&A like you kind of thought it was going to be.
Dude,
it
wasn't. I'm just good off the cuff of my head. Right. You know what I mean? I don't care. Throw me into the fire. I'll figure it out in like seconds.
Well, hey, man, shouts out to Busted Open. Maybe we can get on there sometime in the future with you. And
So Dreamer tries to feed me, and he says, and he starts the story, tell him about when we did the blind angle and you didn't leave your house and this and this. And my response was, yeah, I like that. I like that story. That's good. You know, something like that.
Yeah, like, yeah, I like your version.
Of it. That's what I said. Yeah, I like that version. Dude, I'm just exhausted. I like Mark Henry, and I'm joking with Mark Henry next to me. And they were trying. They were actually bothering me then, because I was trying to talk to Mark Henry right then on the couch. Yeah,
shout out to Mark Henry, man. Love Mark
Henry. I
thought
I'm done. Once I sit on the couch, I thought I'm done.
Oh, well, I mean, they were expecting something from me. You got to deliver, Hack. Come on. I mean, that's all right. Hey, Busted Open. Shouts out to you guys.
It's a 50-50 thing.
Yeah, well, get them next time, man. You killed it this weekend, though. It was super awesome watching you interact with all the fans and just really getting to live some of those moments. So that's kind of...
It was super cool, like, seeing everybody. Thanks, everybody, for coming out, whether it was for Hack specifically.
Seriously, anybody on the planet.
Everybody's dressing up as their favorite wrestlers.
Dusty the Sheik was great. You guys will see that stuff.
Yeah.
It's awesome. There's like a group of guys that come. What do we have? Dusty the Sheik. I like the man.
Triple H.
The was dude that was the man, but he's not part of their group.
He was a dude dressed as Becky Lynch. Beard. Was the man. Yeah.
The Rock. That's Macho cool. Man.
Yeah, they're cool.
That's just cool stuff to me. You know what I'm saying? I love this business, and I could easily have been one of those dudes if I never got into it. I could totally see myself being one of those dudes showing up at WrestleMania and being like The Undertaker or something, you know? I could totally see that, mate.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, thanks.
And I love that about him.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, thanks a lot to all the fans out there. It was great to chop it up with you guys. And thanks a lot to all you guys as well, man. The Hack, Ty, and Oliver tagging along this weekend was definitely a dream come true for myself as well. So I definitely can't be thankful enough for that. So moving on here, I guess, to the WrestleMania show. We have WrestleMania Night 1 here. I got to tell you, so we tailgated this one pretty good. I was feeling pretty nice walking into the building.
Yeah, what do you mean you were tailgating? Like, tell me your little story. What time did you get there?
Got there around 3 o'clock, 2:33. I parked in the Citizens Bank lot and just had a lot of friends come meet us. Malik came through.
Was there people like an Eagles game? Like, I can't see all the food cooking and stuff like that, because most people are from out of town or something. Yeah, you know what I mean?
You can't even cook in the Citizens Bank lot, but there was, you know, a lot of drinking going on and good times, and it was really cool. Everybody out there was, you know, in wrestling gear and cool stuff. A lot of cool shirts and everything, and yeah, it was a really good tailgate. I enjoyed it. We got a nice buzz on.
Were you drinking?
I was drinking.
Was there people like chanting in the like the tailgates for like the wrestle? Was there a crybaby section? You know what I mean?
You know what you would see? It would be groups of people. I guess when people were walking out to go in, there would be people that were a lot of times I would see like Cody people that were real heavy, and then it would be like a group of like Roman people.
The rage.
Yeah, they were saying acknowledge me and stuff. So
the business is on the way up. Yeah, when that stuff's happening.
Yeah, man. Like they were just like similar to how like if you tailgate an Eagles game and away game or anything, and if you're wearing the one other jersey or you see somebody, people were just yelling out their team, and it was basically Roman and Cody, and a lot of Cody fans, a lot of Roman fans.
How about Rock? Like I can see Roman, Cody, and Rock might be the only other dude that I could see them even considering.
You know, I didn't. Out there. I did see a couple people dressed up as the Rock, but I didn't. I see a lot of people.
Oh
like
my God! Rooting, the pants he wore the second night, I want to buy them. Those were the coolest bell bottom pants I've ever seen in my life.
You got approval on the fit check, Rock, from Hack. All right, just so you know. So walking into the building, it was already starting to get pretty cold for night one when I went into the arena. I was with my boy Gambino and a bunch of his buddies.
Gambino,
shouts out. Thank you. Appreciate the tickets. This was a like you were saying last week when we did our preview episode, the temperature in the building, that was something you felt right away. And it was a windy night on Saturday. So being there from a live fan perspective, I definitely think it dampened some of the crowd reactions at points because it was cold and the show went long, and I think people were tired and cold, and you know, I think that played a part into some of the crowd reactions. So
I think a lot of the lesser matches of the weekend too were on night one, so yeah, that might have played a part in the crowd reaction.
Yeah, night one to me was definitely the lesser of the two nights of the show, not just because of the weather, but crowd reaction wise and everything. So getting into it here.
Well, because some people told me they were straight freezing and ended up watching because for like fans in a situation like this, I'm talking to people. I want to know where your seats were. I want to know if you were freezing or not. I wanted to know how much you paid for your seat. That's just part of my questions when people come up to take a picture with me. And people were freezing. If you were anywhere near like the upper above the box level, because the people in the boxes said they were fine, but the people up towards the open end of the stadium were straight freezing, and they watched most of it on the video monitors.
Well, that was me. I was straight freezing. So we were in the club level. I was over to the staging portion of the setup. We were outside in the club level, so it wasn't like a box, but yeah, it was.
That's what people were saying, and I kind of didn't understand it, but everybody, I would always have them show me their phone, like where exactly their seats were night.
I'll show you a picture after we finish wrapping here where my seats were night one, but yeah, it was super cold and windy, and it only got worse as the night went on. First match on the show that opened it up.
People down at ringside didn't care at all.
No, you were just noticed. So into the show at ringside.
They also had heaters, he said. That was blowing. There was a guy in the fourth row. He said, yeah, they had like heaters coming in and out that were like blowing down.
Lucky them.
Yeah, they would dry. Dude, I never even saw them on the cast. So it must be when they're getting a close-up of, dude, imagine how many times guys had to reset those tables up after getting broken. And we never see it. It's like they're Oompa Loompas that do it or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You never see the guys on camera. You never see anything. Their video production is unbelievable right now.
No, it really is. The first match on the show opening it up was the WWE Women's World Title match. Rhea Ripley retained over Becky Lynch. They went 17 minutes. I thought this was a really good match. I enjoyed the work throughout this match. I thought It was just a strong performance from both of them, and they kept it on Rhea. I know previously last week I was saying that I thought with Becky's book coming out and everything that they would probably switch it up, but you know what? They went with Rhea. And,
They're not going to switch every single belt.
You got to have some retaining, right? And I guess it's, you know, Mommy. You know, she performed. Both these girls delivered big, I thought.
The match was great. The only problem that I have is they're holding a submission move too long. You can't hold something that will tap you out in the MMA in 10 seconds. You can't have for a minute in wrestling.
Yeah. Particularly the armbar. UFC armbar.
You're done. You're done. Or your arm's broke. We all know.
Oh, like, right.
Yeah. That's been something that wrestling's had an issue of incorporating over the last 20 years since MMA's caught on, where we as an audience know if you're in a leg lock, an arm bar, even a sleeper kind of thing, you're done. Like, you know, there's no way out of it. So I kind of suspend my disbelief when I'm watching wrestling and don't care.
That's exactly what I was getting to. You're watching. I'm a professional wrestler looking at all the first time I watched everything, I'm a fan. The second, when I re-look at it for my notes and stuff like that, I watch it as a professional wrestler. As a fan, the matches, every single person in that company, top to bottom, can work their ass off. It's like ridiculous. There's no bad workers in that in the whole WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, no. I thought the match really delivered for an opener. The crowd was with it the entire time, and I really liked it a lot. I don't know what.
Ty, you gave me a, who's a bad worker in the company?
Jade.
Who?
Jade.
I kind of look at her as green. I don't say bad.
They hit her, but yes, he's got a point. Well, she's not bad. She just don't know yet.
She's green.
Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley's not a bad worker, I don't think.
He's not great, but he's way better than he used to be when I was there in 2008 with him.
I agree.
He ain't good.
He's definitely not good.
He's had a lot of good matches.
But he could do singles.
He can. He can.
You got a point, Ty.
No, I don't know what...
You give me enough time, I'll find some more.
Yeah, keep burying people, Ty.
That's what I'm here for.
Hey, just your honest
opinion. No, I'm not. I'm only... Look, no, I'm just kidding. Here.
But I thought the Rhea and the Becky match was the best match of night one.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you there, besides the Gunther and Sammy match. I think that was my favorite match, but number two would be that Becky-Rhea match.
Yeah, it was the best match to me night one.
Over the main event?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute here, but I would have both them over the main event. Next up on the show was the double tag team title six-pack ladder match. This was kind of what you would expect a bit. They had the weird booking.
Dude, honestly, it was way better than I expected because they had some pretty big shoes to fill in ladder matches.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So by them, they did some brutal things, but the best thing that I liked was they did some innovative stuff that has never been seen before with the ladders.
Okay.
That's the way they went, you know? So that's how I looked at it. You got big shoes to fill, but boys, I think you did a pretty damn good job.
Okay. Well, you guys got the hack seal of approval in a ladder match. I mean, that just about does it
for it's hard, but, and you can see with all those guys that they've never handled a table in their life out by the ring. They're all fumbly with a table, pulling it out from underneath the ring. They don't know how to pull the legs out and set it right up, like, real quick, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of guys were totally out of their element.
Yeah.
But there was some pretty huge spots where they were. The one where the guy did, like, the fireman carry slam from the top of the rope. That's a bump.
Yeah, that was a bump. That was the biggest bump in the match besides the DDT through the table on the outside.
That was great.
That was an amazing
bump.
And the Grayson Waller bump through the ladder.
Yeah, that was the ladder as well.
Gimmicked.
Oh, you think you're calling gimmick ladder?
I know it was gimmicked. I stopped it, rewound it, looked at it. It's re-soldered. And then they show it again and again. You can see they used like one of those wheel or a hacksaw, whatever, cut through the ladder and then resoldered a piece on it.
Oh, okay.
It's so blatant.
Only a blue collar professional wrestler like you would notice that.
But that bump on That might have been the hardest bump, in honestly, of the whole show.
Yeah,
because all he landed his whole shoulder across one rung of the ladder.
Yeah, I was wincing there with that. I don't know. I didn't really care for the double ladder finish where you had both sets of belts. I mean, I do like the idea of both shows having their own set of belts. But the kind of way that they got there with, A-Town Down Under got the one set, and then Awesome Truth gets the other one. The building did come.
Wow, Truth. How over is that dude?
So over. I mean, I know we were talking about the portrayal of him being kind of like very stereotypical and hokey the week before, but I am happy for him to get that moment. And the crowd came unglued for him. It was arguably the biggest pop of the show.
Goes to show you, to me, that the Hart Foundation doesn't carry the tag straps anymore. There's a lower level to the tag straps now, to me, in my professional wrestling eyes, than there used to be. These guys are very interchangeable, especially with the audience. I mean, Truth and Miz are a little bit different, but anybody else in that match is totally interchangeable.
Yeah.
They have devalued the respect of a tag team just in the last 10, 15 years, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I know the New Day has definitely brought up tag team wrestling a little bit for the WWE, as have the Usos. But yeah, overall, I would say that tag team wrestling has never really been a big factor for WWE, especially over the last 20, 25, 30 years almost now.
15 years ago, there would have been a tag team match that was semi-main.
Not 15 years ago, but back...
20?
We're going like 30 now. We're going like back...
Wow, yeah. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's a while where WWE doesn't really like value the tag titles. They have put a re-emphasis on them. Obviously, last year, main eventing night, won a Mania with Sammy and Kevin versus the Usos. That was the highest level that the tag titles probably have ever been in WWE. And then to see where they're at this year, where they're on the second match in a six-man ladder tag match. It was kind of... Yeah, it was whatever. R-Truth got a huge pop. The match...
Huge.
Went, yeah, I mean...
Unbelievably huge. Yeah,
unbelievably huge. The place came unglued for it. They really, really wanted it. And you gave the people what they wanted, and it's WrestleMania. Happy moment. Yeah, I thought it was fine. Nothing spectacular, but pretty good match. Next up on the show was Andrade and Rey Mysterio defeating Dom and Santos Escobar. I know you asked me last week, Ollie, does Dom get the everything piped in the building for the booze? The crowd heat for him, it wasn't anything special. Obviously, I think at this point the crowd was starting to get a little cold already. And the heat for this match wasn't really there. I thought the work was fine. I didn't really think this was anything memorable. And then you obviously had the cool finish with Lane Johnson and Kelsey coming in. That was super awesome to see in the Lucha mask. But overall, just kind of really not a whole lot in there, Ty.
I want to ask Hack out. Do you remember your favorite spot from that match, Hack? What you thought was the coolest?
Yeah, thing? The cool spot was... Andrade or Escobar, I forget who it was. Oh, no, it was probably Andrade. He did the moonsault off the top rope, landed on his feet. Rolled, and then he moonsaulted on him again.
Yeah, that was funny. A great spot.
But there was the other one.
The one where Andrade landed his whole body on
I cannot stop hearing about this, and you can't even like think about what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay, dude, this reminds me of XM Radio this weekend. I'm just sitting here trying to mind my own business, talking to Mark Henry.
When they did the middle rope springboard to the guy.
That middle rope springboard is the greatest, coolest thing for a stadium that we have ever seen.
You can change this in a system. Oh, now Siri's going off.
Siri's telling me I can change this device.
We get a run in from Siri here.
This is fine. It's organic. I love Siri.
But yeah, the springboard. The guy went like 40 feet in the air down the runway.
That springboard spot is like so crazy. And it's great for a stadium because if you're in the very last row, you can appreciate because you're going to catch some air of what he's doing. You know, it's better than a super kick.
Yeah.
Because it's more like, boom. Yeah. It lasts a couple seconds more than a, oh.
Yeah. I look, man, I thought the work was perfectly fine, but it was kind of just cheap.
Last thing. I didn't like the fact that they took that match. It was kind of like a throw-in to me in less than a month for the show. And then people are expecting Dom and Ray to do something, and they cheap out with the Eagles. I get that, but I would have liked this. I don't know when you're going to do the Eagles, and who knows when all this came about. Who knows if this kid came about like 2 days, 48 hours before. But I would like to see more of of some kind of conclusion between Ray and his son.
Lane Johnson was on the McAfee show. I guess it was like the next day. And Lane was saying that he had known, like, I don't know, 2 weeks before or whatever. Oh, wow. And he actually went and worked out and lost 15 pounds because he was like, we were going to take our shirts off and we had to, like, look real good.
Oh, my God. Kelsey looked. They both neither one looked. They were pasty.
Yeah.
Get a tan. If you're fat with a tan, you look way better. Seriously. You're not going to get jacked in two weeks.
I know. I was like, all right, Lane, what's 15 pounds to you? Like,
you're 380.
Yeah, like...
Yeah. That's great. That he knew for a couple weeks.
So where you're saying though with Ray and Dom, ideally I would love to see, you know, I don't know when Ray's thinking of wrapping it up, but I think something maybe like a hair versus mask match between Ray and Dom would be something really cool to see down the road.
Ray's in no hurry to wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, no, why would you?
No, yeah, why?
Why would you?
He's got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more WrestleManias in him. He's way younger than me, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like 15 years younger.
Well, and he gets to travel with his son all over the place, you know?
So. Yeah.
And listen, the only thing that should come out of that match besides Ray and his son getting back together should be Escobar and Andrade being the next tag team champions. Those two dudes will make it mean something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
they are perfect together.
They just would be.
Look at them, the style, everything. They would do something for the tag team belts.
They would be. I don't know if that's in the cards, but hey, man, why not? I think it'd be kind of cool. And there's a lot of really good workers there. And interested to see where they go.
They all could do many spots.
Next up on the show, this was certainly, I want to say, probably the most disappointing match of the weekend for me. Jay and Jimmy Uso, I thought that this match was just nothing to it. And it was just for a blood feud between brothers. It only went about 10 minutes, 11 minutes, and it was just, there was nothing. There was no heat for it in the building. And after, besides the entrance, I mean, Jay obviously, big pop for the entrance and post-match, but other than that, there was nothing to this match, and I was just there. They really whiffed on this one, and they're both really great workers. I don't know.
Wrong.
What are you saying?
Wrong.
You liked it?
Pap, I think, said the same thing today when he went out to go back out. He's like, this match stinks. Listen, when your brother's in a blood feud, it's a knockdown, drag out, barroom brawl. It's not a tackle, drop down, hip toss, arm drag, body slam, dive over the top rope, put you through a table, roll you back in, 1-2, kick out. But that's a brother's blood feud right there. It's supposed to be slow. It's supposed to be punch for punch. That's exactly what it was supposed to be.
Or in their case, super kick for super kick 37 whatever. Times.
Yes. And I love that. I watched them at first, and I watched that match 3 times. I watched it originally, then I watched it from my notes, and then I watched it again with Oliver and Ty down here, and I thought it was great.
Wow, I gotta say, Hack, I would have been
bummed if they spotted.
Okay,
I would for who for what?
Right.
No, this is punch. I've been in a fight with my brother.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about shooting him into a tree and him coming off and clothesline him, dude. I'm getting you down on the ground. I'm punching your face. I'm super kicking you. Whatever.
Okay.
To me, that's exactly the way that match should have been.
Well, the ratings on Cage Match, it was the lowest rated match on either of the two nights. So
straight caca.
Okay, so you know how many times I've loved something way more than anybody else, and I've been totally right.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm in the business, dude. I don't know what other like fans think, but if you're in the business, I would think more guys would totally agree with
you. I understand what you're saying when it comes to brother and like blow for blow. I just don't think they did it right. I don't think that they pulled it off. Like, it wasn't enough. There's too much there between those two. Like, there's too much of it. Like, the bloodline, everything they've been through together, there's too much there to just be super kick for suit. I'm not asking for spot, but it was just nothing. Like, it was flat. Like, the only emotional part about it was the one part where Jimmy was apologizing, turned on him, and, like, that was it. There was, like, and that was what? 30 seconds?
Let me ask. Yeah, like, let me ask you, Hack. Do you think when they got back to the back that they were both happy with that match?
I think they're both going to be happy with the payday. I'm not in the match, so I don't know, but I can't. Both of them knew what they were going out there with, so I can't see either one of them being disappointed in the match.
Okay. All right.
I just can't see it. They knew what they were going there with. Yeah. They knew every single spot that was happening in the match. I liked it a couple times when they popped each other. And you know, there's a Rock like, ha ha ha, laughing. There's a Rock like, ha ha. You know what I'm saying? There's a work laugh and a real laugh. And a couple times, I loved just seeing them pop each other in the ring.
Okay, cool.
I must have missed that. I was sleeping during the match.
Wow.
That was a real laugh for me.
Wow.
Next up on the show was the six women's tag match between Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi, defeating Damage Control. This was kind of what I thought it would be, a good showcase for the babyfaces and a big win for Jade on a big stage. I thought it was solid work throughout, and I thought it was a decent match. Oliver, I don't know what you think about this match.
I mean, it was okay. To me, it's just kind of another throw-in match to just fill in the card. I mean, I know you have the story. I mean, they just kind of did it like 2 weeks before with Jade saving, what was it, Bianca and Naomi. Yeah. So, yeah, it just seems like kind of a throw-in match, and they really are just trying to protect Jade, it seems to me, with her limited moveset and how green she is.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only thing that really stood out to me in the match.
Yeah. Ty, I don't know what you thought about this one.
Average.
Yeah.
I mean, complete average. Bianca's awesome. Asuka's awesome. Other than that, I can't really say much else for the match other than, I mean, you know what I said about Jada.
It is what it is, and the work's great. But to me, the greatest thing that happened in that happened out there was the finish and Jade's line down her body. That might be one of the coolest things I have ever seen in professional wrestling.
Yeah, that was cool.
Now, it's kind of like Ted Petty used to do it. Matt Bourne did it. There's like two sides of your body, you know what I mean? It's hard for an African-American girl to make one side darker than the other side, but they could go so far with that line. And then when she leans back over top of the girl and she does that, she brings it down. She's got her finish down great.
Yeah.
Let's see how she can start in a singles match.
Yeah.
Against somebody besides Oscar or Charlotte or somebody that can walk through any of those girls. Actually, any girl in that company can walk through a match right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're all really good workers. Yeah. I don't know if you had the chance to see Mark Henry's comments about Kairi Sane not leaving the ring for the moment. That's what I said
Ty was going to talk about.
I had just brought it to him up earlier because we were rewatching the match. How Kairi and Asuka and stuff were still in the ring when Bianca, Naomi, and Jade were, you know, making their entrance into the ring. And they were all still in the ring, and Mark Henry happened to make a comment saying that they should not be in the ring. So I asked Hack what he thought.
I just remembered it, and I didn't even write this in my notes, or I did. Dude, I scribble a lot, so I can't. If you can't, sometimes you can't even read your own writing.
We'll post these after the show.
I told you guys this last week. There's going to be a huge backlash against Jade, and she created even more Because when the one girl, Jade, gets her big hot tag coming, maybe not the hot, there might have been two different hots, but the first hot, I think, she does this, the one girl jumps off the top rope, she catches the girl off the top rope, and then she double clutches with her and does something else. She looks right in the cat, and I'm like, something screwed up in that spot. She looks right in the camera and says, "That's why you fucked it up. You jumped to the wrong side." She says that right into the camera, that the girl, because whatever move she was going to be, her head should have been to the left instead of the right. And Jade looks right in the camera and says, "You fucked up, girl."
Yeah, she ended up just throwing her.
Yes.
Like, throwing her on the ring. And she was like, "That's because you went to the wrong side," or whatever.
Wow.
She said.
Wow, dude, yeah.
That will give her so much heat. Now, the girl that knows the least, that's getting pushed to the moon.
So you think, yeah, you're
gonna... Dude, I told you before this.
Yeah, you did.
That you can't get into that spot and be a crappy worker with all those great women wrestlers and not have heat.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Look, I think...
Man, Jade, or woman.
Yeah, I think Jade is a certified star.
People should... I agree 1,000%.
She has the look. She's like Roman
star. Yeah, she's like Roman star. You know, she just has... Roman wasn't the great worker either.
Yeah, and it sounds like I'm always like kiboshing her as a worker. That's because she's horrible as a worker. But even when she was in AEW, I always said I liked her character. I liked her charisma. I liked her mic work. I liked the look. I like everything about her. But she cannot work a lick. Her hot tag move is that... bicycle kick or big kick, whatever it is, and she still can't even land it. You have one move, you have one job to do, you have one kick, and you
That's
miss
so
it every,
true.
And you miss it every time.
You could just tell by where her body movements go how mechanical she is, and none of it's like really natural.
Zero feel.
I know we've talked about her before, but I don't know if she'll ever get to that level. But
she will.
The star can get.
She will.
To that
they
level.
They got the right people up there that could do it, and you make her work 5 nights a week.
She's got the body. She's got the look. She's got it all. But
you're
just
right.
You got to become at least a little bit of a credible worker.
Yeah,
to
start working the house shows.
All right, what's her background? Is she like a bodybuilder?
She's an
ex basketball player,
former college basketball player.
I did not know that. Yeah,
and she's that bad.
Well, basketball sometimes
basketball tough. No, but basketball's
the best athletes on the planet.
Yeah, but for wrestling,
the planet.
Yeah, but and you would think you would have footwork with basketball because that's all it is. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
True.
I mean, I don't know if she
footwork is everything.
I don't know if she was a bench warmer. I don't know her stats like that. But well, even then,
and
if you
her
have
tall, is she tall for a woman's basketball player? Because she'd been like a center for a triple Oliver. Fact check her, please.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not.
I want to know what she did in high school. What?
Yeah.
She was a
what's he got to look up?
Just Jade Cardgill, college basketball. Yeah, see what her background is.
I can't believe that she was a basketball player.
Yeah, it's
she has no coordination, like obvious coordination whatsoever. She's very mechanic.
Yeah, we'll get to
but
that.
She's going to be a star.
We'll get to that with the with
she'll be Roman Reigns.
We'll get to that with the hack check segment later on. Next up is Sami Zayn taking on Gunther. Wow, I can't believe it. I thought that this.
Oh no, the match was great.
Yeah, I thought that this was the best match of the night. So
match was great.
The match was fantastic. Sammy had the great entrance with his wife and kid. The second they came out, I turned to Gambino. I said, "He's going over." The line shifted. He's minus 500. There's the line movement.
You went on live.
So funny that there's live lines for wrestling.
Well, I made that one.
No,
up.
He made
I made
it up.
Yeah, I made it up.
So he didn't go on fan. I didn't check the Sami Zayn live.
Well, you had me.
Yeah. So that was a line shift there. I thought the match work was really good here. I thought they delivered big time. It was a really really strong match, and Sammy had the crowd going for it. I loved some of his sells that I would call Terry Funk-esque with the legs and the shaking and everything. I thought his work was just fantastic. The Gunther reign ends at 666 days. That was the Intercontinental title run for him. So I don't know. What did you think overall, Heck?
Oh, obviously, both guys can work their asses off. I don't see Sammy as a champion. That's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's proven how over he is. And at the end of the day, how over you are.
No, see, now that's where you're wrong. Sammy's a tweener more than you even know it. You put him against a strong baby, he could easily not get any reaction. Not a heel reaction, but not, I'm telling you, that dude is, put, all right, imagine, who's more over, him or The Rock, in a match? Are both of them babies? Roman Reigns, Randy, Seth.
He had a match with Roman Reigns, and Roman was the heel.
And he was arguably the biggest face the company's ever had.
I don't understand where you're getting he's a tweener in at all.
He can work heel. He can do really good heel work.
But he's not to the crowd. The crowd loves him.
Yeah, over the past year, the crowd is...
I don't know what you're watching.
Okay, well, I don't get it. I don't get him as a professional. If he was bigger, yes, I get it. I don't get him.
No, I think you're looking too much on the size and not actually the crowd.
No, I don't care about the crowd reaction. The crowd, oh, right. How many times in professional wrestling has it happened? Did the crowd reaction decide that Cody was supposed to have the belt?
Yeah, and all the seats he sold.
How often does that happen? Do you know what I'm saying? You're telling me the crowd reaction has to do with they listen to the crowd reaction and they book their titles off of that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
Heck, it's not the heavyweight championship. He's an intercontinental champ.
Yeah, he's certainly deserving of the IC title. I know, dude.
None of you guys will ever agree with me. I don't see him as a champion whatsoever. And then, even though Ty said, I don't like him booked against this other guy, book him against a monster. Don't book him against somebody his freaking size. I don't care. And then I learned today about their backstory and stuff like that. The dude's not a champion. That's it.
No, I completely disagree, man. Okay. I think he is, and I think he's awesome. It was such a cool moment to see him get that WrestleMania moment, and the crowd went berserk for him on night one. I think it was the biggest pop of the night. Next up was the main event.
Oh, the pop was huge.
The pop was gigantic.
I get it that the crowd was with them. It was Rocky all over and stuff like that. Yeah, I get all that. You know what I'm saying? But I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it, but I don't
get it. All right. I mean, that's your opinion.
He's huge over.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. All right. Now, let's talk about him and who's the guy that won the guy that thinks he's part of the mommy's group.
R-Truth and Miz?
Yeah. R-Truth. Is he a champion?
R-Truth absolutely is a champion, yeah.
Could R-Truth hold that same belt that Sammy's holding?
The IC title?
Okay, well, if you say that, then I get it that you guys don't get it.
Yeah, I do.
I don't see him as an intercontinental champion.
But you see, Sammy is more of an intercontinental champion than Truth.
Sammy's totally a different level than Truth, but...
Truth now, in this current character, no. Truth before this character, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Ron the Truth Killings in TNA was the world champion. Yes. I mean, he was presented as that.
Yes, I know that stuff.
He has it in him. And it's just the way they presented him in WWE.
They made him do the 24/7 champ for all this. He's like the gimmicky dude, whatever. Okay. So he's not credible like
Is
that anymore.
Is Dominic an intercontinental champion?
He's chicken shit. So it's tough with the chicken shit guy.
He had the NXT championship.
He had the NXT North American.
But he's over heel wise. Is Sammy or anybody that you're ever going to mention is over baby face wise?
I would say Dom absolutely could be an IC level guy because he has the heat as the chicken shit. No doubt he could be an IC level guy. Yeah.
Eventually. I think so too.
Yeah, eventually.
I think he's at that level right now.
Yeah. Sammy to me is upper mid card, if not main event. Like he main event at night one of Mania last year. He made an event at Mania last year. And the year before, he's wrestling Johnny Knoxville.
It's a different business right now, dude. Think about how many dudes are on top right now.
I know. We talk about it. Yes.
And they just put the belt on him.
And they just put the belt on him.
Well, they should be taking it off him tomorrow.
The business is so great right now, other than Sammy.
And he's a big part of it, too. He's been on the show the entire time.
Yes, I get your point, Ty. There's just some things that...
Hey, I get it.
I don't know. It's just my brain.
Hey, you like who you like, whatever.
But it's not who I like.
It's what you see.
It's just being wrong. Yeah.
I might have been wrong a couple times in my life. I'm not going to admit it.
Ever. Enough burying hack for not digging Sami Zayn. The main event of the night one show. I don't think any one of us had this on our bingo card that this match would go 45 minutes. This match went 45 minutes. At this point in the show, it is very cold. It is very windy. And the work here in this match, counting entrances, there was 40 minutes in between the Sami Zayn Gunther match in this main event. Between entrances and video packages and everything. They did not need to take 40 minutes to that crowd at that point. They should have just got the match in the ring as soon as possible. It was. I looked over at Gambino. I said, this match ain't going to the ring for another half hour. I'm going to just let you know because I know how they do it. And it didn't. It was 40 minutes. I looked at my phone. It was 10:20.
So, you know where the problem was? People going home early.
I didn't see a lot of people leaving early, to be honest.
No, the wrestlers going home early.
Well, they only had, what, 5-6 matches?
No, I think this match was... I heard...
Do you think they planned for that? Especially yes. If they know that temperature, they are planning something different. There was no way they wanted their people to sit 45 minutes in that temperature.
I heard that that match length segment was plotted out for that time. So that's what they had in books.
But it's like you said, Tosh, with the Uso match going, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10.
Out of, wait, what was it, a 5-match card or a 6-match card?
They had 6 or 7 on the show. Yeah, they had 7 matches on night one.
Oh, it was 7? But, like, dude, you got a match that's 10 minutes long on a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and in between everything... I mean, they had to have been at least 20 minutes in between each match.
Yeah, there was a good amount of time in between each match. And look, the work in this match, they got to work really slow. We knew it was going to be methodical. This is something you called out last week in our preview episode, Ty. They were going to do that methodical, slow work to start, get them warmed up, and then go, go, go. But they did the long crowd brawling section, which I honestly... Did they brawl in the crowd for 10 minutes? I don't even know. Like, it was a long, long... It was a long time that they were
in the... I would say close to that.
Yeah.
Maybe not 10. Between, like, 5 and 10, probably.
And there wasn't anything... Like, there's sometimes when you do the crowd brawling segments where it's like, oh, they did a couple cool spots or they had something set up. It was...
Nothing. A suplex on the ramp and The Rock and Rock and Seth going out there.
Yeah, you know,
punch, whatever.
And I know they had to make sure that they saved themselves and saved the main event match. So you wanted that match. Your number one goal of that match was to make sure that Cody and Roman got through that match unscathed, as well as Rollins. I mean, Rollins had to work again the next night too. So it was a tough match to navigate booking wise. And then for them to go 45, I was like, is this seriously happening right now? I couldn't believe it. And then, I mean, they picked it up towards the end. It started to get some heat. You had the cool spot with Roman spearing The Rock, but it never got...
That was my favorite spot of the whole match.
It was a really cool spot. I mean, and the way he sold it.
And Seth was perfect on the timing,
yes,
on getting Cody out of the way.
Yeah.
It all looked really good.
Yeah, it was not super choreographed or anything, but when it happened, it was gigantic pop in the building for a match that was kind of, honestly, the crowd was... It was dead.
The first 30 minutes was dog shit.
Yeah, and I if I had to give that match a star rating, it was, you know, like 2. Like it was nothing special.
All right,
like,
good, because I thought I was the only one that thought it stunk.
No,
there was 3 different matches there. You saw opening, middle, end.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying. So the end was great.
Yeah,
the last third was unbelievably great,
which was probably 6
to
minutes.
To me, I was pumped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I didn't have a problem with the time because of the level of the stars that are doing it in my eyes.
Okay, so the star power.
Because I respect all those guys like so much. Yeah, go do what you want, dude. I'll watch. And it didn't bother me.
Like, I thought The Rock's work in the match was just fine. I mean, he did everything he had to do, and he executed everything pretty much fine. He didn't blow up.
Taking the Rock bottom through the announce table. And,
big bump.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he paced himself in that match really well. There was no point in the match where I was like, oh, he's blown up, because we were calling this out for weeks before. I thought maybe he's going to get blown up. It didn't happen. He paced himself. He was there for the finish. He was there at the end. And then to get the win over Cody sets up business in the future. So I thought the finish made sense. We all expected Bloodline to win. And yeah, I mean, it booking-wise, it made sense. It just
Mama Rhodes should have speared him first night. Could you imagine that? That would have, I don't know what even made me just think of that.
I wanted to see her get some kind of redemption.
A smack. Maybe better go for the slap, rock blocks it, then somebody turns him around, hits him with something like that.
I wanted to see something, and I got to be honest, too, after the angle that they shot 2 weeks ago, I was very surprised that Cody didn't get color at all at any point over the two nights.
I was surprised, and Roman got her by accident.
Yeah, but I was surprised because, I mean, you do the color 2 weeks ago on Raw with The Rock, and then I'm kind of like, well, there's got to be color in the match again, just because of everything. And I feel like it maybe would have taken things up a little bit the next night, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it was solid. It overall, night one didn't really do it for me as a show. It was a really cool experience being there for WrestleMania. The wind and the weather definitely affected it, but yeah, fun times, but not really a super, super memorable show.
I think the wind and the weather might have affected you more than you think.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You know, I mean,
if you were indoors, I think you probably would have enjoyed yourself more.
No, I enjoyed the time. Don't get me wrong. I totally enjoyed the night and everything, but it was not as good as night two.
One thing I got to say about the main event that I did love, it was, like we were talking about, The Rock was not blown up, but watching him work, I don't know if you notice this hack, but he's always on his toes, even when he's standing straight still. Like, when he's standing up still, like, you know how it's like, work on your toes. Like, he was just walking around the ring like nobody's business. Like, but he was on his toes, like, walking on his tippy toes, like, part of the business. Like, watching him compared to the other workers in the match, like, yeah, they get on their toes. But, like, even when he's just standing by himself, like, he, like, seeing him work again was awesome. And Tosh, I got a question for you about the main event. One thing I think that I came to the conclusion was that I wasn't invested in that main event because the outcome didn't matter to me. I knew they were going to work again the next night, and I think that was partly why the reason why I... Granted, they didn't work that much. The first 30 minutes of the match wasn't that great, but what happened in the finish didn't matter to me. Because I was going to see what I wanted to see the next night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, no matter how much of the story The Rock put in and all that, I wasn't, like, as invested because, like, okay, they're working again tomorrow night. So it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't
really matter. Yeah, I think, like, you know, had the Cody Rollins side won, there's no interference. But then, you know, like, The Rock told the referee, I'll fire you. You know what I mean?
That was great.
Like
that was great.
Like,
shut up, dude.
If that's the case, like, why are you even having this match? You know what I mean?
Like, right, somebody's like, got to count to three.
Right. It's just like, I wasn't invested. Like, I was seeing something that, like, didn't matter to me. Like, the match didn't matter.
Well, I think it's all about the business in the future. So I think what obviously you set up with the finish is a future Cody Rock match.
Right.
And after
they did that later on.
And after that, I think you do the Cody Roman match as well. I mean, or Rock Roman as well. But you could also do Cody Roman as well.
How about a three-way?
Three-way as well. You could do that, too. Like,
and they're setting up a three-way with Drew and Punk and what's his name? Oh, my notes were for the main. The Rock's just great. And I liked it that they gave... A lot of people won't notice it, but they gave the ref credibility during the match. Because how many times was Cody outside? How many times do you see in any regular tag match, they just break down after 30 seconds, everybody's outside the ring all through the building, they come back in, next thing you know, it's a tag match. But there, they gave the ref credibility to the point where Cody couldn't come back into the ring because the ref was on him and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I love them giving the credibility to the ref. And it helps you with your cheating, too. Just your basic cheating. You spin the ref, you cheat. He turns around, you stop cheating right before it. You know what I mean? And the Rock selling the spear, maybe the greatest sell of the night.
Yeah, that was tremendous.
That cell was great.
He looked like he got a shotgun blast in his chest or something. Great. You know, it was really cool. It was really, really cool. So that was night one of Mania. Like I said, I definitely preferred night two. Starting off for night two. I went with my dad. My dad's not a big wrestling fan. My 7-year-old dad. He had a blast.
Oh my God! How cold was he?
How cold? He was fine.
Night two
was warmer, and we dressed accordingly, and he had a blast, man. I mean, he really, really enjoyed the show. My dad's 70.
Who was his first favorite?
Bruno.
Bruno. That makes total sense in the 60s right there. Yeah, absolutely. He was
Bruno and everything. So
before that, it would have been Gorgeous George. I don't know, but he might not be old enough for that. Yeah. I think George was the 50s.
He was a Bruno guy as a kid. So, yeah, like, he enjoyed it. He had such a blast being at the show, and we were tailgating.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
How did he last all day?
He hung in there all day.
He's a beast.
He is a beast.
He runs marathons, remember?
Jim Nate's a beast.
Jim Nate's a beast, man. He does a...
We got to get him and our dude. He's got to take a marathon up to Canada to meet our guy, and we'll raise money for it the whole way.
Okay, all right. You got
just that off the top of my head.
I like green grass all the way marathon.
Green grass marathon.
That'll be me driving next to him on 95.
Mr. Tosh and Green and Chris from Vancouver. The Green Mile.
Raising money for kids.
So night two, we definitely had a really good tailgate again, a bunch of buddies and everything, and my dad had a blast. We get into the building, and first match in the show is Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins. They got after it really quickly. Nothing really. It was all big move. Reminded me a lot of like a Paul Heyman Lesnar kind of match where it's all finishers and you're just waiting for the finish. There wasn't a lot of stuff in between. I don't know if they kept it like that due to Rollins' injury or anything, but it was a lot of finishers and you were just kind of waiting for it to wrap up pretty early. I thought the work was...
What's Rollins' injury?
Rollins had a knee injury a couple months back, and I don't think it's had surgery yet.
Yeah, which is why... I know his stomp is the finisher, but if your knee is hurt, why are you doing the stomp over? And if you're going to do it one time to finish the match, whatever, you can deal with it. But I saw, three or four times? It's like...
After they worked his leg for 5 minutes?
It's like, dude, you shouldn't be walking.
Super kick stomp.
Or you should be leaving the ring on crutches if you're going to do that.
I mean, he did a full match the night before, so... I mean.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I don't know.
Which begs my point even more of...
He wasn't limited the night before.
Work your arm.
No, but I'm saying against McIntyre. But I'm saying against McIntyre, if he had a match the night before and his knee was even more hurt, so why are you doing the stomp four times when your knee... It's like, I don't know.
I'm not arguing.
You make total sense.
I'm not arguing with it.
But because you're on the inside of the business, remember, most fans are watching this like it's a movie. You know what I mean? It's cinema. It's not. That's why you can... Like the one guy broke one guy's fingers during that ladder match. The dude never sold his fingers again during the match.
And he twisted them to the inside, not the outside.
Stuff like that. Suspend reality when you buy your ticket.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I've always said, and I ain't said that in a while. I actually forgot about that saying. People suspend reality.
It's difficult because like. I've been in the business for so long, but I'm also like a fan. So it's like
I'm a fan as much as you are, though.
Well, oh no, I know, but it's just it's hard turning like splitting that off, like fan to
big, yes, to like, of course,
to critique and like what you know and what you see. Like it's hard because I could sound like a complete hypocrite at some points where I say I like something. And then it could happen again, and I could be like, I hated that. You know what I'm saying? But like, because I understand how I am, because you'd be like, dude, I thought you hated that style. And I'd be like, well, I do, but
sometimes
I like
it works with some people. There's a million of those examples. And I'm sure I'll be caught in that all the time.
Yeah. Look, man, you're allowed.
Shit works for certain people.
Yeah, what works for one person might not work for another.
Nothing I do works for anybody. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work.
But what you said, Tosh, was like, because that was my immediate thought. I'm like, okay, it's Claymore, stomp, pedigree, stomp, pedigree, Claymore, stomp, pedigree. Like, that was the whole match.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
I was not entertained. Like, I was
entertained, and the fans in the building were too, and especially for the finish. And then afterwards, with the post-match with Punk.
What match are we on?
It's the first match of night two. Drew Mack and Seth Rollins.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So Punk, McIntyre does the thing. And once he starts rubbing it into Punk, I'm like, I told my dad, I'm like, yo, watch out here. Because I knew the cash-in was coming.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No, I forgot.
We've been talking about it for months.
I know, but I saw it in the possibility in a different match. I didn't even think about it. I'm embarrassed.
Once I saw Punk... like get involved in, I'm like, all right, here comes the cash.
I got sucked into him and Punk's angle, and I totally like forgot. I was like, oh, Punk's finally getting back at him, like, and I totally forgot about the cash in, and I'm the only one that's been bringing it up for the past
No, I mean, I saw it coming that night, and then obviously Damian Priest runs out, gets the win.
Yeah, but you also don't know that they're changing that. We don't realize how many straps that actually got changed this weekend.
Yeah.
And won twice. Yeah. That one that we're talking
that
about.
That one got moved twice. I mean? And it, look, you haven't changed that belt since you created it, so I don't mind the double change.
What belt is that?
That's the WWE World Heavyweight title.
That one's the shit.
It's the secondary title.
Roman had the unified belts, and then they split them into SmackDown and Raw, and Roman took the SmackDown, and they created the Raw one for Seth.
Because Roman was ill, and then he wasn't necessarily able to work, so and then Seth carried the company
for one of those years. No, it was just they wanted a belt on each show.
They wanted a...
Okay.
They wanted a second belt to main event pay-per-view.
Well, where does all the other seven belts come from? I mean, can you actually name
the storage bin?
If I ask like, you, Tosh, could you name every single belt in that company?
I think so.
Yeah. How about an AEW?
Yeah, I can.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry, this is it. This is WrestleMania weekend. We're not going to pay. We can't. Joe, love you, dude. You're the best. But this is WrestleMania weekend.
I think I can. But let's move on here. The next matchup. This one was pretty cool, just for one reason only, and I had to ask Ty if it actually happened. So this is the 6-man tag team Philadelphia Street Fight with special referee, close personal friend, Bubba Ray Dudley.
He looked fat.
So,
dude, horizontal, vertical stripes could not help him even.
Him having the shirt tucked in had to have been a rib, right?
I don't even know how he doesn't look so fat every time I'm next to him.
Because he never has his shirt tucked in. He had his shirt tucked in.
Wow, Bubba.
Tucking
seriously?
Does a lot, let me tell you.
Dude. Yeah.
Tucking does a lot. So the special announcer was Snoop Dogg, and I asked Ty before we started recording, because a buddy texted me while I was at Mania, and my buddy said they just name dropped Sandman on commentary. So Pat McAfee, friend of the show, name dropping you on commentary. That was fantastic. But
I didn't know how much Pat McAfee knew about us. But then during the ladder match, and the guys got the ladder. Who was the guy that had a guy on his back?
Bates.
Yeah, and he's doing the Terry Funk spot, spinning on a ladder, and then somebody else stupid that shouldn't even fed into the ring and took a bump.
Kofi.
But Pat McAfee said that was the Terry Funk spot during that.
Wow.
So he knows all of ECW if he knows that.
That's close personal friend of yours,
Pat McAfee. He knows all that.
Close personal friend Pat McAfee of yours.
No,
close,
I didn't say that.
Close personal friend Bubba Ray Dudley. Snoop Dogg. This was...
close personal friend Snoop Dogg, yeah. Just saying. The other guy I met this weekend. What's his name? Son that I met this weekend and screwed that one up?
O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah. Ask about that one later.
Okay, I'll ask you about that. But the match work here, there was nothing special to this. There was a couple spots. Obviously, unfortunately, they had the table spot that was blown. I was real happy there was a You Fucked Up chant that I participated in.
Shouts out to
ECW. I think because this
you
giant
started
arena,
that chant, right?
I was very adamant about chanting You Fucked
Not
Up for that
those,
table.
Not for those, please.
Yeah. No, I had better seats tonight, too, man. what it was, completely forgettable, really. It was cool to see Bubba get a big reaction. Other than that, not a really whole lot in this match. I don't know if you have anything.
But I can't believe it. Can somebody mention the biggest problem of this match?
Them not knowing how to set up a table properly?
They screwed the finish.
Yeah, Tosh mentioned that. Yeah,
nobody knows how to deal with tables. It's just so obvious. You have to lock in. There's this little ring that you have to lock in when you're doing something. They screwed the pooch. Everything else meant nothing to me once that happened. I erased it all from my brain.
Wow.
You can't screw the finish like that. You just can't.
And actually, the one spot that was really cool was Montez Ford jumping over the turnbuckle, and it actually was a great camera view. It looked like he was coming into TV screen.
That wasn't the only time camera angles were great this weekend.
Oh, no, they did a great job with the camera, but I'm just talking about specifically that match.
Yeah, like having a guy at ringside and then pushing the camera through his face to who's coming down the aisle with his music playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, Stuff Taj,
so much better.
It was.
It was just there as a
I'm just psyched, dude.
Get guys on the show kind of match. Didn't really care for it a whole lot, but like I said, pretty cool for them. Cool that you got a shout out at Mania Hack. I thought that was awesome hearing that. But
well, he's talked about me on Monday Night Raw too.
Yeah. No, I mean, look.
You think he'd put in a word? Maybe he can get you an appearance or two. But you know,
yeah.
Talk to me in 6 months.
Next up on the show was LA Knight defeating AJ Styles. They went 12 minutes. I thought the work here was pretty solid and just a decent, good match and a big win for LA Knight on a big stage. I mean, not really a whole lot on this one. Oliver, I don't know what you thought of this match.
Yeah, I mean, solid. Both dudes can really work. I mean, I think that match kind of gets overshadowed. I know they were trying to do the angles and then beating each other up at a signing or out in public or wherever. Just trying to get people invested, which I get, but unfortunately, I just think it gets overshadowed with Roman and Cody and everything like that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you have a giant show like this to like really get a hook for your specific match. I know they tried, like you said, the home invasion angle and then the signing at WWE World, something to heat it up. I don't think it really needed those things, and the match itself was, yeah, like I said, solid, and LA Knight picked up a big win at WrestleMania, so that was cool for him. Ty, I don't know what you think about this one.
I can't really say anything. I mean, what I expected from those two, solid match, solid work. The only thing I didn't really like is them pulling up the queen-size mattress padding around the outside of the ring and exposing that. But other than that, I mean, good match. You know, nothing I really didn't expect from those two.
Now, what'd you think, Hack?
I like the way they worked the leg, even though I can't believe not one match somebody worked an arm or worked an upper body. It was the left leg the whole time, but you know, so I didn't like that. The finish was great, especially because it was straight out of nowhere, and I used to do those finishes all the time, because if you're working with Sabu and there's so much stuff going on and boom, it's hard to have like a lead up,
a finish.
So it's way better. It's way better out of nobody in the building. They're all expecting the kick.
I love that.
And it's done. And they did that there. And whatever the spot was off the top, AJ, whatever, I can't remember. I can't see it in my head. But the finishing spot was really good.
AJ went up and then he pushed him off the rope. He pushed him off the rope. Then AJ took a bump
on
the top rope and came in, hit him with a finish. That's boom. It.
Yep. Nobody thought, I don't think anybody in Miller thought it was happening.
Yeah,
I didn't.
So I always do a game with my friends. We do ball game. And I was calling the finishes all night.
Are you sure you want to say this?
No. I was calling the finishes all night.
I didn't know what kind of game you were talking about.
No.
You were in the
I only lost two this week.
I was calling the finishes all night to my dad. I did not call the finish in that one. So that was, they got me.
So that's your out, saying he probably would have not. Oh, my God.
No.
Ty, what was your record? I lost two.
I don't know.
The Sami Zayn and Cody. Those are the only two I lost.
Those were the two easiest.
I know. They were like the walk in the park.
Yeah.
Ollie, those did you guys have the exact opposite?
I mean, I knew Sami was winning. With the way WWE is, I don't know if they were sticking with Roman or going with Cody. I assumed going with Cody, but you never know.
But didn't they change three belts in one night? Four because of the Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
Has that ever been done before? I would have to say no.
I bet you they have. We'd have to go back and check to see what shows.
No way. I bet you they've changed four belts.
But there was
less belts then in the company, though, also.
There was a period of time, especially like in 99, where the belts were getting hot potatoed a lot. That they were moving around quite a bit in that period of time. So,
That was part of the wars.
Yeah, you were doing a lot of belt switches then. So
that makes sense.
I imagine that one of those shows had, you know, four or five, every belt getting changed. Next up on the show was the three-way match for the United States title. Logan Paul retained, defeating Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. I thought this match was good. I know before when we were talking the preview show, I thought that it could steal the show. I don't think it stole the show. I thought it was really good work, Ty. I don't know what you thought about it. The one thing, you got all this Logan Paul stuff. And look, I'm 37. I don't know who that guy Speed that he had in the bottle is. But the kids that were in the section around me, they were all shouting him out when he got unmasked. Like, this is something that's just not on my radar. So, like, it's part of the Logan Paul, you know, video game streamer verse, whatever.
I didn't know who he was.
I didn't know who he was, but I'm telling you, kids knew who he was. So.
Yeah, I've never watched, like, his videos or anything. I mean, like, I've seen, like, clips of his on, like, Twitter and things like that, and I know, like, he's a huge presence on YouTube, but other than that, I can't really say I know him.
Yeah, I mean, just, I don't know. He's apparently pretty big, too. So, what did you think of the match overall, though, Ty?
I think start to finish, it was the best match night two for me. Just as a whole, like, composed as an entire match. Maybe not, like, the best 5 minutes of a match in a night, but I thought from beginning to end, I thought it was the best, the way that Kevin and Randy started the match, double team him, and then they both go for the pin eventually.
And they were joking when they were going to start. You knew they were going to start beefing at some point.
Right. And they pull that whole ordeal. But, I mean, for the majority of the match, it's all three kind of in the ring, like we normally talk about, how we like in a three-way. Every once in a while, towards the end, there was like a big spot where you're trying to get a false out of it. But other than that, I thought it was great from beginning to finish.
And what'd you think, Oliver?
Yeah, I think the same thing. I mean, I can't really say any more than what Ty put it in. I mean, yeah, it's good, solid work. It's what I expected from those three. I mean,
they're all pros. Rogan is really good, man.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he is.
Oh, my God. We can all agree on something right now. Well, besides the match and besides Logan, that dude probably should have been a pro wrestler before, whatever the heck he was doing before that. The dude is that good.
Yeah, he's a natural.
He's a fish to water. I mean,
my notes are, I love the uppercut spot that the three were, that was it the two of the three they were doing?
And Logan and Randy.
Yeah, that was really good, the uppercut spot. And it was really nice to see, Randy did it, Cody did it, Roman did it, and somebody else that I can't remember. That dead leg cell, like when somebody hits you and you don't really bump.
I love
just
that.
Just like wither.
I loved his cell, the knuckles.
I got goosebumps right now.
I love that.
I saw like four great ones of those this weekend. Those three, and I wish I could remember the last guy. I loved Randy ragdolling that dude and
the big kick.
Just straight ragdoll him, you know?
The barking at him.
Yeah. He just threw him around like he weighed like 10 pounds. Which I'm sure that Randy told him that this is the way I have to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not going to be credible unless I ragdoll you.
Yeah.
And he probably was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that great finish out of nowhere.
So, Hack, I got to ask you. Logan Paul has 12 matches in his career. Can you think of anybody with that little experience at that level?
Yeah, me.
You had to know that was coming.
Oh, God. All right. Next
I'm thing. Like, he's setting up a hoop. I'm jumping through it, baby.
Or Chicky Star.
Yeah, Chicky Star. That's such
Chicky! Go back, still alive?
Go back and watch WWC or IWA Puerto Rico for some Chicky Star matches. Next up is...
No, Logan's just a straight talent.
Yeah.
Was he
just an internet guy?
That's how he started, him and his brother. They started on Vine, then went to YouTube.
Was he a ball player in high school?
He was trying to be like a professional boxer. Like, maybe not professional boxer, but he was doing some boxing.
Right.
But other than that,
they both played sports in high school, and they both wrestled in high school.
Yeah, but nothing.
Oh my God! If he was, so he must not have been good.
No, they were good wrestlers.
Well, there's the Kurt Angle.
I mean,
there are so many dudes that are great collegiate wrestlers that don't know how to realize it's a work. We're not touching each other, you know. Turn your
off. But there's a difference between him being a high school wrestler and Kurt Angle being an Olympic champion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, yeah, that's what I meant. Also, like, what level was he at?
They were like good, like, competitive high school wrestlers,
and they probably love. They probably have video. You ever seen a video of them like doing a like backyard wrestling?
I never watched any of this stuff.
But yes, he's absolutely unbelievably. T- to be that talented, well,
dude, and it's not
if
only,
you're in the ring with Randy.
I was going to say, it's not only like his physical ability and moves too. Like he timing. Just gets it. Yeah,
he
like,
has timing.
Yeah,
and he knows when he to be a heel it. With the crowd.
Timing
and everything.
Is everything. Timing is the only thing. Yep. It really is.
Yep.
My whole career is timing. I know when I'm in the ring where every single if I can't see you, I still know right where you are. And I know by looking at that dude's face in the first row that I'm supposed to turn around and get hit.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got that. And he's got the it factor besides that.
No, I mean, look, for like I said, he's
a That's why I said he would retain the belt.
Yeah, he's a total fish to water. It didn't make any sense putting it on Randy or Kevin. Just keep
exactly.
it keep it on Logan, and you can do something big maybe
keeps
in the summer.
Heat on him. The yeah. Keep him having the belt keeps heat on him.
Yep. Think about it. How many does he... Like, who has more followers? Mac, I guess McAfee. But if you keep that end of your spectrum, like suppose you get rid of McAfee and you get rid of him, you're going to have less followers WWE to me. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they're getting
McAfee
rid of either.
He brings some audience, and I think Logan Paul brings some audience.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, different type of
that,
audience.
If you took
sure.
that belt off of Logan and he took a hiatus, then I think some people might stop watching.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, I think there's probably a segment out there.
Maybe, but WWE is always going to roll.
But business is picking up, so I'm saying most of those people might even be fans by now.
Yeah.
Because the business is so good.
True. That was that match. I thought it was pretty good, but it didn't quite steal the show for me, where I kind of thought it was on the preview show when we talked about it. I thought that would steal the weekend. Next up, it was Bayley and Io Sky. This match was really, really good. I love the work in this match. I thought they really just showed out, and I was a big fan of it. And Bayley got her big WrestleMania moment there. The crowd was with it. I got to tell you that by the finish, it got a really big pop in the building, and I was really happy to see Bayley get that WrestleMania moment. I don't know what you guys thought of
that. To me, it was straight status quo. Just loved it. I didn't even make a note. Watched it three times, didn't even make a note.
Okay.
The match was exactly what I expected and exactly the finish that I expected.
Yeah, I mean, Io Sky brought some intensity in that ring for that match. You could tell that she was really feeling it working in that big, big building. And Bayley, too. I mean, look, Bayley had the original run as the babyface when she first came up from NXT, but, you know, kind of just had been trying to find her voice and everything. And this certainly has been the biggest run of her career. And I was really happy for her getting that big moment at WrestleMania.
Yeah, my favorite part of the match. Well, my favorite—I don't know what—I don't know if it's a part of the match, but my whole thing about the match is, you knew what the story was in the match right away. Io going right for Bayley's leg, right for the injury.
Great point. Yeah,
you're starting off right away. You know where the story is. We established that. Now let's work this. That was my whole point. Like, that's what was my favorite part of the match.
Yeah, I know about you, Ty.
Hey, Bayley. Ooh. Ah. I wanna know, would you be my girl?
Yeah, that was cool.
Bayley, I think I think she might be the best.
All right, boys, we're not a cult. So every time Bayley, or does every time Bayley get at you, we got to sing that.
Well, I mean, it's what the fans were doing that night, and it was cool.
It was hard for me to hear.
Yeah,
sometimes I'm like, I would yell down to these. What are they chanting?
They've done that. They've done that a couple times for her in matches, and
yeah,
it's really
cool. Kind of like an old thing that they brought back, you know, with Bayley or whatever. But yeah,
it's cool.
She's really cool. It was what I expected. I don't think it was like over the top, like either one of them's like best match or anything like that, but. The more and more I watch Bayley, I think she's the best in the company.
Yeah, she's tremendous, and
her entrance was awesome. She looked phenomenal.
She did. She did. She looked like a star.
If you could put Bayley's brain in Jade right now, you would literally have the Terminator.
Well, you're saying wrestling brain, but yeah.
Yeah, you would have the Terminator.
You'd have the Night King.
Look, yeah.
Yes! Good call. With the line down the middle,
right.
I love it.
Yeah, you'd have the Night King.
Okay. Yes!
You're just impervious to a little aria, but other than that.
Nah, that was a super cool match, and I really enjoyed it. I thought this was probably... I think
Game of Thrones reference, anybody wants to Google it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people listening, Kevin.
Shouts out to
Kevin.
My friend. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Next up, this was the match everybody all weekend. We've been looking forward to this match for months now, and it was Cody Rhodes defeating Roman Reigns, ending the WWE Universal title reign. This match went 33 minutes. We knew that this was going to have waves of interference. You just could tell.
I called 11. Actually, I was watching it with Nico in my room. He's watching it downstairs with Ty, Oliver, and his dad and Pat. He's like, "There's stiffs down there. I'm going to watch this with you."
Okay.
I said it was going to be like me, Dreamer, against Bubba and Devon with 14. It was 14 or 15 run-ins for Vince at that one pay-per-view.
So I have to ask you, because when I'm watching the match live, this was straight up like Paulie, you know, Raven, or the, you know, over the weekend, I was out back of the arena, and I was talking to Fonzie and Todd, and I put over to Fonzie and Todd, it's my favorite ECW match ever. It's the 2 out of 3 double dog collar match between the Pitbulls and Raven and Stevie Richards. And that match is so overbooked, and it has waves and waves and waves of interference and layered spots that I think it was Paulie's, like, best piece of booking that he's ever done because of all the different layers into it. It's my personal favorite. This match reminded me of that, but it just in the WWE version and all the different layers of everything and the history of everything. And, you know, the match itself for the first 15, 20 minutes before the run-ins, I thought was really good. I don't know if it was on the level of their match that they had last year, which I think was among the best matches of the year last year. But once you started hitting the run-ins, the crowd was completely apeshit, just going nuts from the first Uso run-in. I believe the Usos was the first run-in, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the big spear spot off the stage, right?
Yep.
After that was Solo?
Yep, Solo coming in with the spike.
Solo coming in with the spike, which was last year's finish. And then for Cody to kick out of that, I mean, at that point, you're like, I don't know what's going to put him down. And then from there, when the Rock came out, it was like another level. Well, no, I'm sorry, Cena. Yeah, Cena came out
about,
first.
Don't forget Cena about Cena.
Cena came out first, and it looked like, man, he was that run to the ring was rough for him. That ramp, that was a rough run. Did you think that too?
I said that to Ty. I said that to these guys. I'm like, damn, Cena's not running too well. but he did a great leap. It was a little bit different. This one, he brought his knees up to the left. He used to do the straight head first.
Okay.
But he still did it without hitting the rope.
Yeah.
And you know how many people I've seen hit their... Dude, can you imagine doing that running? Cena clotheslines himself on the bottom rope.
No.
Or do the Titus O'Neil.
Yeah.
The Titus O'Neil where he tripped and fell under the ring.
Yeah. Or the Shockmaster when he busts through the wall and loses his helmet on the floor.
Yeah, no, it was, look.
Shit happens.
Cena doing that run in, and then it was like.
Dude, the place was like, boom.
I'm telling you, nuts. One of the loudest pops I've probably ever been around for in wrestling ever. And then at that point, I'm
so all in right now, you have no idea.
You knew what was next.
You know, I know that I didn't know exactly how the run-ins were going to go, but I knew, to me, I pulled in my own head, I'm like, when Cena's music hits, I'm like, all right, boys, business is picking the freak up right now. Yeah. And I knew there was going to be other run-ins, but I knew that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
I never thought that was the end.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, I agree. And then The Rock. I mean, The Rock's then coming out.
Oh, my God. And I want those pants so bad.
Of Cena's face and The Rock coming out.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one. Yeah. I saw that on Twitter. Great shot.
That was an amazing shot.
And The Rock's outfit is like, I would wear that outfit every day of the week. Back in the day.
All right, so spend some of that that cash you made at the merch this weekend on that. See if you can get a Versace suit.
Oh, I would easily go to Philly with my boys and dance in a club in the 80s, 90s.
Back in Pulsations with the white pants.
Chippendale. Bitches.
So then
Google that. Sandman Chippendale. Pulsations, 1984. Just got out of jail.
So then... after The Rock comes out, they have the big stare down with Cena, and it's ancient history between those two, but they still have the crowd. They still have heat at that, you know?
And they're just both so smart to let it breathe.
Yeah. You know? And that's what the match needed at that point.
And Pat's not saying no to the announcers. It's like when you win the World Series, some announcers shut the hell up and just let's feel the moment. You know what I mean?
Out at home, that's awesome.
They let it. Everybody just feels the moment. I call that a frozen moment in time when I try to explain that point to wrestlers, that it's literally a frozen moment in time. And I'm going to look to the left. When I look to the left, you look to your right. And then we look the other way, and that's exactly what they did. And then they went back in there. It's called a frozen moment. No, that's Nancy Sullivan. Frozen moment in time.
That was the tip.
That's where I got it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
when,
so cool.
When we were doing the Dreamer.
The blinding angle?
When Dreamer blind me.
Oh, yeah.
She said, I wanted to go run around the ring like and do my Tommy Rich, please. She goes, no, you're going to lay there and shut up.
Oh.
And me and Dream are going to do the frozen. And she goes, I look to my left, you look this way. I look to my right, you look this way. Then we look at each other, we look down. You know what I mean? To catch that like 12 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Just enough.
And they did that, and I loved it. And Nancy was the one that taught me about that.
Oh, that's really cool. And shouts out to Woman for passing that along to you. They had the moment there with The Rock and Cena. And then, obviously, Rock lays him out. And then it leads up to... This was part of it where I was kind of like, I don't know where I'm at with this.
I was like, who cares? I'm ready. I don't care whose music hits. I'm all in.
Correct me because I haven't gone back and rewatched. At this point, it was Rollins next, or was it Undertaker?
Yes. Yeah, it was Rollins next.
So
after the Rock Bottom, it was the Shield music.
So yeah, I didn't like when they played the Shield music because my head and people in my section were saying it. Was Moxley there? People were saying, is Ambrose with him? When they played the Shield music, and I was like, there's no way. I think he's under contract with AEW.
I think people are stupid for thinking
that. Yeah, and then it was like, wait, this couldn't possibly be it. And then next thing you know, Rollins is in the ring, and they do...
Roman comes in, like, spears him out of the way.
Wait, wasn't Taker out first?
No.
Okay. No, Taker came out last, and then
you kill me, dude. How much homework have you done going into this case?
I didn't rewatch it. No. I just was there live.
No, Rock's sitting there looking around, like, where is he coming from? And okay. Then Roman comes up and either hits him with a Superman or a spear or whatever. Camera angle
there because
you couldn't see it. Yeah.
Well, one, you couldn't see it, and then when they showed it, Rock, Matt.
No?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and then after Roman hits Seth, that's when...
Okay, that's when the lights
because
out.
He came down the aisle, and yeah. It was obvious, but I thought he would have came from somewhere else, well, but I don't think other people realize that.
I think Rollins coming out in the Shield gear is because... If you know, those two won't know. But
it's the chair angle.
Yeah, the chair
turned on it.
Yeah, the chair.
That's
angle
why he hit him with the chair afterwards.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well,
I won't
it's
know.
It's in the new Roman, and I wouldn't have known this. I forgot all about the Shield, and I wasn't even watching wrestling. But the new Roman thing, his biography that they got on,
you watched
on
our
DVR. Yeah, I watched it, and that helped me understand what was going on right then, and I didn't like it.
Okay, yeah, it was another...
For who, for what?
It was an unnecessary layer, I think, for it.
What?
I don't know.
And I saw they're going to bring it back.
Are they going
to bring it back? Who was it that came up with them? Did Moxley
was with them.
And who was the other
Rollins.
Dude?
Rollins. Rollins and Roman.
And no, I thought there was a fourth.
No, there's only three.
Oh, I always thought there was a fourth.
Yeah, no, there's only three.
I just watched it.
No, yeah. I saw something on Twitter that said that...
Nah, I don't see it. I don't see Moxley going back.
Why would they do it, Ty?
I saw something on Twitter that beforehand when Rollins initially offered his services to Cody, he said, Cody, I will be your Shield.
Okay. That's something.
So, like, he said, you know, I will help you. I'll be your Shield. Okay. Whatever like that. So, in turn, a little bit of semi-long-term storytelling, he ends up coming out as Cody's Shield because later on,
yes.
Roman hits him with the chair.
McAfee kind of acknowledged that, but I didn't get it, right?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you heard that. Okay, I don't know what you didn't get. Shield do then? If the Shield goes back together,
well, it can't because
Ambrose, John Moxley's not in WWE.
Moxley is in AEW and he signed there for a while, so that's not going to happen anytime soon. And I don't really.
So then, why would they even do it?
I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of a weird tease.
I hate that section of it. Yeah. So I love everything else.
The Taker part of it, I think. If I just had to guess, this is just my guess. I haven't heard anything. Do you think that slot was slotted for Austin and they couldn't get Austin, so they went with Taker? Or what do you think? What's your gut check there?
I would say absolutely not.
Okay.
To me, I don't know why they wouldn't be able to get Steve Austin there.
If he didn't want to do it? I mean, maybe he didn't want to do it. I don't know.
Dude, they would pay him probably 300 G's to show up for 10 seconds. He would do it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, to me...
Or unless he looks like crap, if you know what I'm saying?
I see him on Instagram. I don't think he does. I don't know.
Well, maybe he's using some filters like Francine does all the time.
Yeah, why are you killing Franny? Friend of the show.
That's just my thing. When I see Franny posted something that comes across my timeline, I'm like, ask her how many filters she used to get this good looking in this picture.
I saw Francine this weekend. She looked tremendous. So wow. Shouts out to Francine. Wow. Yeah.
That outfit she's been telling me about for 6 months.
Yeah, she looked great.
And she bought her for like $50.
All right, well, she looked like $1 million. She looked fantastic.
She loves finding the best clothes for cheap. And that just makes her happy.
All right. Well, I thought you looked great, but
don't worry, Franny. I'll get him for you.
Anyway. Yeah, Kevin will get him, Franny. Don't worry.
I love you, Franny.
But yeah, that goes to the finish after Taker hits Rock with the choke slam.
Great. I like the Rock being able to just take the. I know it's the Taker, and obviously anybody would lay down for him. But I love that little segment right there.
Yeah, so then
it would have been better than anything I think that they could have done with Austin. Because if you have Austin right there, you have to do like a little tete-a-tete.
And he can't just leave the ring with the lights. You can't just do the
boom, done.
Okay, so I get what you're saying there.
And do you think that they played the Undertaker's music? Now, they hit the gong before they turned the lights out. Did you even notice that?
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
I think the lights should have been out, and then you gong it.
Okay, and then I noticed after the third watching upstairs that they did the same thing on the out.
Hmm.
They played his music before they turned the lights off on the out. And then when you come up, Ty's like, this is the greatest thing ever. The Cody Rhodes belt, Cody's mama's belt was like just sitting up.
Yeah.
Mama Rhodes.
Yeah, Mama Rhodes. It seemed like whenever the lights were out, somebody set it up like that with the chair right there and everything.
Well, it was perfect presentation. Obviously, yeah. Cody then hits the three crossroads for the finish. It was the best way I could describe it. It was, it was like a team winning a championship level of pop. The crowd was so happy for him. Even the people that were rooting for Roman, everybody in that building was just, from what they saw, it was just like, wow.
How long did the buzz, was there still that buzz when you were leaving?
Yes.
And everybody in the audience, like real palpable?
Yes. Yes, it was. Right. It was in the air like that.
What percentage in the audience are kids now?
I would say
20, 30?
Less. I would say it was probably like 10 to 12% kids. The kids in our section were going nuts for Cody. They loved it. And not just that, but when they played his music at the end and they had everybody stayed in the building too. This is one thing I took note of. I made sure to watch.
No, I'm begging you to do something while you're there.
Everybody in the building stayed, and everybody there was watching as he called for Bruce and he called for Triple H to come out, and they did the whole shoulder thing, and all the babies come out and they do the big celebration in the ring. They stayed for all of it, and it was,
that means something.
It does. It means that
really does.
Yeah, it does.
That means something.
People look. There is.
They're invested.
They are.
They're straight invested.
They are, and it was to me the right business decision, because from here after Raw Monday with the whole angle of whatever the Rock handed him, so now you have a question.
So those two, we'll talk about it later. But I've watched Monday Night, and Rock's right like, now. "Hey, our story's just starting, Cody. Yours." Are we sure that Roman is not ill? I know they could keep that in-house easily. I'm just wondering, could that be part of the reason whatsoever?
That's a big speculation.
So then what does Roman do? And because Rock says you and Roman are done. Me and you start.
Taking time off. He's been the champ for 4 years or whatever.
Okay, but he defends the belt 3 times a decade.
He's still got to do TV.
Yeah, I don't think we see Roman for a considerable amount of time. And if we do, maybe you do something with Solo and the Usos, kind of like a secondary
bloodline story. Oh, now does Cody kick out of the damn, what was it, the spear and the thumb? And the Superman punch.
And the spike.
Well, that's when they went into the people running in or stuff like that. You know what I mean?
He kicked out everything.
I didn't like that kick out.
I was perfectly fine with it, and I expected it.
Oh, yeah, of course you were, you crybaby.
When Roman comes back, he's going to be baby.
Yes, and now the big thing about his heel run is that it allows for him to have, finally, the big babyface run. Because for years and years and years, he wasn't over as a baby. Now he's going to be a baby with an edge.
Why?
Why?
Well, suppose he goes...
I'm just saying the fans are going to choose it as that.
He has now reached legendary status.
Suppose they put him against... He's so good. If you put him against The Rock, what's he going to be?
He'll be babyface, and Rock will be a heel. Rock's going to stay heel for this run, I think.
All right, Seth.
Seth is
Cody.
I think Seth can be the heel.
Cody, you can go back to whenever with Roman. You can go. Roman could be a heel or a face in it.
I think it's just a legend match. There are certain situations where they could do whatever they want, where he can walk in as a baby or a heel. Depending on whatever they freaking want to write.
I think what you do with this run from Roman, it has finally taken him, you know, you've spent 10 years trying to get him over to a level, and a lot of it hasn't worked. I mean, go back and look at that Undertaker and Roman WrestleMania. It was pretty bad. And that Triple H and Roman WrestleMania, it was pretty bad. And now we finally reach this point where Roman has finally had this really, really good run, a historic run for modern WWE. And now when he comes back, he is going to come back as a legendary figure. So I think you can go anywhere you want.
Are we sure he's coming back?
I am. Yeah, absolutely. There's business.
Do you die?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think for him, it's...
Do you think, Ty Oliver, do you think he's taking time off, like Tosh said?
100%.
Yeah, I think you could keep him off TV and bring him back on SummerSlam.
Oh, that would, like, 2 weeks before SummerSlam, throw him in an angle?
No, I'm not talking about... just talking about, like, you see... Like, he makes an appearance or somebody... Wraps up winning the title and Roman music hits. Be, he comes you're out. Right.
Because it's going to be the dude. It's going to be The Rock and what's his name at SummerSlam.
Cody.
Guaranteed.
It could be a three-way.
Nope.
Why? What do you think?
It's too early. The Rock's going away to film a movie for a couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah. So is that like legit?
He literally said he was going away.
All right. Well, they're not going to do it at the Survivor Series, and they're probably not going to do it at the King of the Ring.
It's WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, it'll be a Rumble Mania. Wow. It'll be a Rumble Mania thing.
So I don't know. That's
great booking.
I think that there's two matches in The Rock left at least. And the two money matches
are Roman and Cody.
Yes, but you do Cody first. You have Rock go over Cody, and then you do then you do Roman and Rock for the belt. And I think that's big business for both of them.
Yep.
I think it just makes sense. I think it's where they're going to go. And yeah, I mean, The Rock.
Oh, could you imagine Paul Heyman's facials during that?
Could you imagine if he goes heel and sides with The Rock over Roman or something like that? Or you know what I mean? Like you can go so many different directions with this.
Or if Paul ends up going with CM Punk.
Oh, well, that's another wrinkle you could throw in there too.
I don't know. I think the biggest money is Rock Sammy.
Wow. He's kidding. He's trolling you, dude. He's trolling you. Look at your face. I think you were ready to pick up a kendo stick over there and came back.
Sammy double strike.
I'm still too tired from this weekend. It's Thursday at like 8 p.m. Well, first of all, I came home. It's Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m.
Nobody cares.
The next time I left my room was Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Yeah, no, it was a long, long weekend. It was a great, great show.
Yeah, it was.
I enjoyed the live show night two so much more, and it was a fantastic show. So, love that. Next up here, I guess we're going to go to Oliver.
Oh, there's more?
Yeah, we got a bunch of here left, man. We're going to Oliver for some hack checks from the first three episodes. So each week we are going to go to Oliver to correct some of the things that we got wrong. Because, look, we're just a couple guys talking wrestling. Occasionally we're going to have a couple things that we don't get
100% right. I've never been wrong in my life, and I don't feel Chicky like...
Star.
Listen, how many people have read something on the internet that hasn't really been truthful? So please, trust me. I know what I'm talking about. Pay no attention to that fancy gadget in your hand.
Oliver, the hack checks?
So Hack said that he was watching WrestleMania 1 with Tyler when he was 1 year old. Tyler was born 1989.
5 years and later. When was WrestleMania 1?
Off 1985.
Here's my guess for it. Missed it by that much.
How did you think that Tyler...
Hold on, Tosh. I got to put over my Get Smart. Please, people, YouTube Get Smart. It's so funny from the early 60s. All right, go with it.
The second hack check is actually me checking myself. On the ECW Mount Rushmore, Tommy Dreamer won the ECW tag titles with Johnny Gunn, October 1st, 1993.
What?
Yeah, wait, Salvatore Sincere. Yeah.
Johnny Gunn.
That was the first part.
Tommy Dreamer and Johnny Gunn won the ECW titles October 1st, 1993.
They were tag champs. That was Tommy Dreamer's other tag team partner.
I can't even picture Johnny Gunn in my head.
Salvatore Sincere. Does that help at all?
The Patriot? Oh, one of the Patriots?
The Patriot? The fake Patriot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. Because those two had the Italian look. Dreamer was on the juice, which I'll never admit.
It was only 3 short years after we were watching WrestleMania 1.
Yeah, Tom Brandy. I don't know.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Well, it took you so long to say that.
Well, sorry. I don't know what name you give.
I'm begging you. Johnny.
Chicky Smart?
Chicky Smart. All right, what else do we have for the hack check on this?
I'm not sure. What was the last one?
I think it was the Jerry Flynn one that
Hack had. Jerry Flynn, Hack telling the story.
The blowjob story.
Yeah, the blowjob story, which he ended up working for WCW until 2000 after you left WCW.
You said I was fired before him.
Yeah, you were fired before him. You said he lasted 6 months after that, and you were canned before he was.
You said he got fired for getting topped off, and yet he did not get fired.
He actually got a raise.
Yeah, it's WCW. Bischoff heard that he got topped off in public and was like, "You're getting a raise."
Story, whatever, dude. The internet is bull crap, and that's I wanted to serve my own purposes for being correct.
And that wraps up the hack checks.
All right.
Mail time.
Listener questions, as always, send these into sandmanpod@gmail.com. We have some amazing questions this week. All right, here we go. Cannot wait for listener questions this week. These are Drummy from Bryan Street Tavern writes.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, God. You all right there?
Yeah, dude, I just
were you just smoking with Chris?
Hack. Just took way too big of a dick in a second. Right. Drummy. From where?
Bryan Street Tavern. I don't know. Bryan Street Tavern.
All right, Drummy, next time you contact us, make sure you give us a better location than that.
Okay. Drummy from Bryan Street Tavern writes in, what is your favorite flavor of wings?
Plain.
Plain? What does that mean? Like buffalo or hot like or mild? Hot
stuff, dude. Warm milk is too spicy for me.
So, wow. like naked. So like
Ty, my son, always watches the Bobby Flay like shows and stuff like that and all this. I want a plain wing, put some salt and pepper on it.
Oh, you're going just plain Jane. Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh,
all right. Don't call me a girl's name right here. I'm ready to go right now. I got a couple cocktails in me.
All right. Joe S. from Scotland writes in.
Scotland.
What was the inspiration for the change from the American pants and top to the all black? I'm from Scotland, and I absolutely love ECW. I have the logo tattooed on my arm. You got to send us in a picture, Joe, of that.
Please.
When me and my girlfriend met, we realized we both love wrestling, so we all set a 10-euro limit to buy each other a figure, and she got me a Sandman figure. Wow, this is beautiful here, actually.
10 euro? Damn.
Oh, 10 pound. I'm sorry. 10 pound.
Pounds is the same thing. I'm trying to do the conversion. I don't know when that was, but 10 pounds, maybe at the worst, was like... Let's say a pound was worth $1.70. So if you had to pay $1.30 to pay a pound, so they paid $15 for a figure.
Yeah, I guess maybe it was on a
sorry, we're off on a tangent.
Yeah, you weren't over. So
on the off chance you see this, I love.
Oh, wait a minute, let me answer. Is this still the same question?
Yes, I've read it.
Hold on, keep that part. The only reason that I had the red, white, and blue pants, this is actually a pretty good story, is that I knew we were doing the... Paulie told me what he wanted to do with me and Cactus and Funk Out of a Box. That's what Paul just gives me. He gave me the same thing when I was the person that built the scaffold, the swinging chain scaffold. Paul's like, yeah, we're going to have a scaffold match. Hack, take care of it. You know what I mean? And I did that. And that was way early. And then, where am I at right here?
You're talking about why you switched to American pants and top to the all black.
Okay. So I know we're going to do this angle, and it was... I went to the fabric store because I knew the arena so good. I knew the trash cans and everything. Paul gave me an idea. I probably had like 21 days or whatever from one arena show to the next. So I saw the trash cans and I'm thinking in my head, all right, I could put Terry in this trash can. And then I got to put a cover over top of it. So I went to the Springfield Shopping Center next to... a bar that I used to drink at when I was 16 years old, back when nobody carded anybody and I was roofing. I was great. Saturdays by like 7 o'clock, I was toasted. So I went, there was a fabric store there, and I got 3 square yards of straight black fabric. And so that would go over the top of the trash can. And then I'm at Gary Wolf's dad used to have a hamburger cart at this huge flea market.
Okay.
At this horse racing show in New Jersey. I saw those pants and I'm like, wait a minute. And I put it all together. I was like, Cactus throws me into the box. Terry comes out with that big black thing across him. You know what I mean? If he's wearing the same red, white, and blue pants, that's going to convince him even more. I'm like such a stickler. He could have had his regular uniform on or whatever the hell it was. You know what I mean? But I wanted to be like, right, right. So, and then when they pull the curtain off, when Cactus pulls it off of him in the middle of the ring, all you got to do is watch the hard camera, and nobody knows it's Terry. They still think it's me. As he turns really slowly counterclockwise, you can watch the people just going batshit crazy.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Hackstory.
No, that's a great story, and I appreciate the question from Joe.
So why did you change from the red one?
Well, because then I was going back.
He's explained it.
So I asked Terry. So the next month, it's me and Terry against Shane Douglas and Cactus in a tag match. And I said to Terry, you want to wear the red, white, and blue? And he goes, no. And I'm like, okay. And then that's what I gave it to.
Okay. All right. There you go, Joe. You got
good call, Todd.
This is the end of the question, though. And it's very nice sentiment he put in. On the off chance you see this, I love you, man. And I'm gutted I missed ECW when it aired. But I'm grateful to have watched everything WWE Network has to offer. So, pretty cool message from Joe from Scotland.
Great question, dude.
Yeah. Next up here is Uncle Howard.
Howard!
Uncle Howard writes in, what's up, Hack and boys? Love the show. Hack, everyone knows you began your career as a surfer, dude. I'm from California, and I remember seeing you in PWIs and thinking you were one of my kind of guys. Did you ever get a chance to do any surfing or skating in your life? Did any surfers or skaters ever give you props for representing their lifestyle, or did they vibe you for posing? They can be kind of a rude group. Thanks very much, man. Uncle Howard.
All right, Howard, it's a little bit too late and a lot of questions, but I can't believe you've never seen me on the Banzai Pipeline riding like a 60-foot wave of this World Surfers Championship, dude. It was 2012 or 13, because I remember CJ, it was like 5 or 6. I can't believe you don't know this, obviously. But I was never a surfer to start. The only reason I became, I was the Sandman, and I had pants, like these neon pants with an hourglass on the side. I was never a surfer. But Joel Goodhart, the guy that started which was Tri-State Wrestling Alliance before it was ECW, Jerry Lawler said, I want you guys to send me down some guys with some gimmicks. So Goodhart's like, Sandman, get a surfboard or something. And this is back in the day, like, you didn't have a computer in your pocket, you didn't have a phone, I had to drive like to the Pitbull's house. It was 1990-91, and you don't have to hat check me on that, because I got to know the year I started. Yeah, okay. You would think.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I told Gary, and you got to understand, the Pitbulls ran the city back then. They were huge. They were jacked. At any club that you rolled in with them, you rolled in into the VIP section. So I told Gary, I need a surfboard. He's like, all right. He goes, follow me. I had a van. So he got into my van. He goes, let's go down to Delaware Avenue. We went into this place called Rock Lobster. He talked to one of his boys. He goes, hold on, stay here for a second. He had one of his boys that worked there go and unhook a surfboard. Dude, it was a 5-foot surfboard. I'm weighing 250 pounds. You can't actually, you need a big surfboard for that. But the pit bull said, yo, dude, go grab this. I left with a surfboard.
Okay.
And so then actually, you know, me and JT Smith, who did the Black Cat, we drove down to Memphis together in my van.
Okay, so that's how you got the surfer gimmick.
Yep.
Sorry,
a little bit long.
No, I like that one as well. That was a really cool question and good answer there, man. Last up here, as always,
great two questions.
Yeah, our man, Kevin from Dayton,
Ohio. Kevin!
Kevin from Dayton, Ohio writes in, any memories of Jason the Terrible? I recently saw him at WrestleCon.
I have video of that. Tell him to check out Jason's Facebook.
Okay.
Because I did a video with him, and I'm pretty sure Jason had it on his Facebook. Check his socials.
So okay. he actually sent me the video, the interview you guys did on Facebook. So we'll be able to post that on our socials on the Sandman podcast.
Cool. Yeah, we'll post that on YouTube.
That's a good teaser.
People have no idea how good that guy was to me early in my career.
Okay, so that's a really good teaser for checking out our YouTube and our social page. We'll be sure to put up that interview with you and Jason the Terrible. Nice. Great question there, Kevin. Next up, next week on the show, we are going to be reviewing another WCW classic. This is WCW Spring Stampede. It's the 25th anniversary. You worked Bam Bam Bigelow, but before we do, as always.
Yeah, I always beat the crap out of it.
The Cane of the Week and the Toast of the Week. Hack, who do you got for the Cane of the Week?
All right, let's go to the Toast of the Week first.
Okay, fine.
We'll the Toast of the Week is for WWE as a whole. Wow, wow, wow. I'm a fan again.
Okay.
And I honestly never thought in my life that I would be a fan again.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering, could it have been this good for so long if it wasn't for Vince stepping away? That just makes me think that it could have been this good for a lot longer.
Well, I think he was holding it back in a lot of ways.
The Cane of the Week is going to the spot in the building that took the biggest bumps of the night was that section of the section of the that people were spearing people through.
The barricade spot. Yeah,
that same barricade section. That barricade section got beat up, dude.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, that's
and I don't understand why they keep using the same section. Does anybody watch the other matches before them? That's another thing. Because a lot of times in ECW, especially at the arena, it was one big building and there was a monitor right there. We could really watch whatever the heck was going on out there. But all these people in these builds, because they're working in a big building, they're all separated into their own sections. Why don't they watch what's going on before them?
Yeah.
How many times did the one table, some, and the one dude who did the 450, he, the guy off the court.
I'm drawing a blank here.
The big Bronson, whatever, was laying on the table, and the guy went up in the corner and did the 450 on them. Out of all three, and I remember that
was
spot.
Was it Montez?
No, it was a guy in the four-way match with McIntyre.
One you're talking about Monday Night Raw.
You're talking about Raw. That's why. That's sorry. Why. No.
I'm thinking Mania.
My XM radio right there.
All right, guys. Next week, we
will, I am so funny.
We will be doing Spring Stampede 1999. As always, send us in questions to sammanpod@gmail.com.
Oh, is that the spot with me off the stagecoach? I'm pretty sure that
yes,
is.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
That stagecoach was worth like $10 million.
We'll get to that it next was. Week. I believe you, man. Follow us on Instagram at The Sandman Podcast and Twitter at Sandman Pod. We will be glad to interact with all you guys. Take care, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Peace.